you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy.
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
Push on, black man, push on.
What's going on in white America, U.S. of KKKA?
I'm Barack Obama, and I approve this message.
Yeah, Eric. Hey, what's up, man? It's Mr. Khan, dude. I need you to take care of something for you, man.
Oh, my God. Shut the hell up.
Yeah, I got these guys I want you to double-cross for me. They did me some wrong in the past, so, yeah, I'm going to take care of them, dude, all right?
Yeah, shut up, dude.
So I'm going to send you to go make a fake drug deal, all right? I want you to take care of this for me, man, all right?
Shut up.
Yeah, you'll get paid. You'll get paid plenty, all right? Just take care of this for me, dude, all right? Everything's gonna be okay, all right?
Is it possible for you to shut the fuck up for 10 seconds?
Say hi to the family for me, okay? Yeah, man. Everything's gonna go down smoothly, dude. Double cross. All right, man. I gotta go. Later.
Shut up, gay guy.
And now.
Wow, that was hard to listen to.
Our feature presentation.
And in a quadrennial tradition, I now remind you that the Central African Republic is a republic located in Central Africa.
Oh.
Thank you for that. I said that back in 92 as a joke, and apparently people thought I was serious.
Oh, he was serious.
He was serious.
Yes, he was serious.
He was reading whatever they put up.
A-hole.
He was making a joke, and it was so obvious.
The first
and by the
time-
way, we're absolutely the first time. We are one of the probably 100 interviews that he has done since the first time where we played that clip for him and made fun of him for it. I'm sure that's what he was thinking. Is now's my chance to redeem myself.
Just let people know I was kidding.
Huh.
He was absolutely kidding.
Really?
Of course he was.
Okay.
No one's going to say the Central African Republic is located in Central Africa.
If you're reading a prompter.
It's so obvious you wouldn't say something like that unless you were trying to be funny.
If you were reading a prompter and you've got other things on your mind, you're just getting through it, I could see how you would read that. And because he sounded surprised as the second half came out of his mouth. I could totally see that. I don't think that's surprising.
If we were talking about Kevin or somebody, maybe.
How dare you?
This is Bob Costas, for God's sake.
Well, it's not as though it was a call. I mean, he was very, very busy at that time doing a lot of stuff. He was juggling a lot of balls.
That's what she said. I'm pretty sure that the Parade of Nations, where the athletes walk into the stadium very slowly.
Not juggling so many balls.
Is still going on.
During the commercial break, more athletes entered the national stadium, including those from Dominica, the African nation Togo, and Guam. And you can't miss their flag bearer, Ricardo Blas Jr. He competes in judo and is 6 feet tall, 399. He's the largest athlete here and one of the largest Olympians of all time.
I don't think you want to be known as the largest Olympian of all time.
Oh,
dude.
No.
He does judo?
399 pounds.
Oh,
God.
My God. Oh. How's he not sumo?
That's a good question.
He should be.
That's a good question. I love the opening ceremony of the Olympics. And I realized over the weekend while I went back to it, Friday night, Saturday morning, Saturday afternoon, Sunday morning, they were still going on. I realized that I love the highlights of that. I don't really love watching it because
it's awful.
It is not entertaining.
Uh-huh. And NBC sure plays a lot of commercials. I'll tell you that.
The only way to do it is to TiVo it, which I did. And I've gotten through about an hour and 20 minutes.
It's impossible.
Yeah, I figure by the end of the games, I will be done.
You find yourself
ceremony.
Like dozing, and then you go,
totally.
Wow, why? I just missed.
I had to go take a nap. Yeah. I'm so sleepy.
How boring for you if you're on the Greece team and you have to enter the stadium first, as is tradition, and then you have to stand there for 3 hours while everybody else enters. You just have to stand there and just wait.
Yeah, these guys are athletes, right?
Right.
How about picking it up a bit? How about a little jog, perhaps? Maybe a run? They can run. They're athletes.
They could run.
How about
they
run into the stadium?
That's a good question.
Then it would only take 2 hours.
Like they do for football.
Yes.
Run out onto the field. I saw the history of China. I saw that they enacted with Kleenex or whatever they used. And then I saw the first, 800 countries come in or something. Then I was out. I never went back to it. So I never even saw how they ended up lighting the torch, which is always, of course, the conclusion of the evening, the big mystery that they spring on you. What did they end up doing?
I don't know.
They had some guy who won 4 years ago for China in something, and they just like pulled him up by a tether or whatever, and he had a big torch in his hand and went all the way to the top of the stadium. And
oh, I see. So they had him fly, basically, up to the thing.
I got through the Parade of Nations, and then a dude got up and started speaking. Given a speech, a long speech. And I was like, I, at this point, could care less how they light it. I just have to go kill myself.
I was thinking of President Bush, who you know is not a patient man.
Yeah, true. Right.
Stuck there because he can't go. All eyes are on him. He can't go anywhere. But wouldn't you want to bail after the first 2 hours if you were there?
And they put him in like the 300 section. I don't know if you saw, but he was sitting in like the regular seats like you would get at Staples Center if you were way up top.
Yeah.
And he was sitting, and then to his right was his wife, and then to her right was the president of Russia's wife, and then the president of Russia. Mm-hmm. And I saw them leaning over and talking to each other throughout the thing, but there's no way they could hear each other four people away.
No.
How's it going? Good, we're invading Georgia.
I thought they
the
had
state
a...
state Georgia? No, the country. Okay.
I thought they had, and I only saw the presidents for a minute, but I thought that there was a translator that was sitting between Mrs. Bush and the president of Russia that maybe was, you know, passing the word along what each man was saying to the other so that they really only had to be heard over two people.
Oh, that could be. That could be.
Because I don't think Russia dude speaks English.
Yeah, right. I didn't think about that, but I did think about how when you're at a sporting event of any kind, and even when you're sitting next to someone, they have to repeat themselves two, three times.
Oh, totally. Right.
Then you put in the President Bush prism of language, and then you get the language barrier.
Right.
And noise, and there's no way they were communicating.
I'd love to hear that conversation.
Me too.
I mean, it could have been President Bush says, hey, whatever you do, don't invade Georgia. And then it goes through the translator with all the noise, and President Putin goes, oh, you want me to invade Georgia? Okay. It's like the game of telephone is screwing up the world here. I don't really understand what that's about, but that seems like bad news, blowing up an oil pipeline and stuff. And something like 2,000 Georgians have already been killed in that conflict already. And it makes you wonder if Russia intentionally waited till the Olympics were on so that people wouldn't pay as much attention as to what they were doing down there.
Yeah, I guess. I don't know.
I can't even speak to it because I know Georgia was doing something with another country, right?
Dude, you got me.
Like they were marching on another country and then I...
The Central African
it happened
Republic.
So quickly that I don't really know what's going on.
It does seem like the former Soviet Union has been busted up long enough that the borders should be pretty well established. I don't understand how they can still be fighting over, oh, no, this is ours. Oh, no, this one's ours. Yeah. This part belongs to us. I don't get how that could be still an issue.
Yeah.
Well, because Russia keeps backing presidents for those countries that then are pretty much beholden to Russia.
Well, all I know is the capital of Georgia is Atlanta. That's the only thing I know.
Yeah.
Certainly not Tbilisi.
It's certainly not Tbilisi because I would have said that if I'd have known that.
Yeah. So the Olympics are going on. That's happening.
That is definitely happening.
I actually
happening.
Am watching quite a bit of it.
Are you?
I was surprised, yeah. I just do the evening recap by NBC.
That's the way to go.
Yeah.
I find myself, because I love the Olympics, but I find myself as people walk through the house saying, hey, who wants to watch badminton with me? Hey, the Olympics are on. Anybody want to see the rifle shooting? Anybody?
Well, I don't care about 98% of the sports at the Olympics. That's part of my problem. Although I will tell you, Psycho Mike, I thought of you, and I was very disappointed when I tuned in to watch some indoor women's volleyball Saturday morning.
Yeah.
I thought,
Japanese volleyball players, how awesome is this going to be? Fugly.
I watched the same thing and had the same reaction.
For the same reason. Yeah, yeah, exactly.
They were not pretty girls.
I thought, Japanese volleyball players, this is going to be porn for me. This is going to be the greatest morning of my life. I was up at 6 a.m. waiting by the TV for that to come on.
And from the neck down, both sides were pretty good. I mean, I was happy with that. But man, the pan faces.
Yeah, it was a rough crowd.
Woo!
Yeah, it was disappointing.
Athletes are not a generally good-looking bunch.
No, but for instance, we've been teased because we've seen these photos that are going around. If you haven't seen them, please search them out. The Brazilian beach volleyball girls are models.
I mean, unbelievably hot.
Yeah, that's part of the thing in Brazil. You have to be.
Yeah.
Yeah. I had very high hopes for the Japanese team, but it was very sad. So I'm already disappointed with these Olympic Games.
Because the specific athletes that you wanted to be hot were?
Yes.
All right.
Because they're Japanese and they're volleyball players. They have to be tall and hot, I thought. But no.
No.
I was very excited about that. But I wouldn't have tuned in to any of it over the weekend except for that damn French swimmer blabbing his mouth.
I don't know
that
what you're talking about.
That motivated me to tune in to the 400-meter
Oh, the one that said that Phelps.
Yeah. I'm showing up at the Olympics specifically to beat up on Americans. That was his comment. I mean, not I'm paraphrasing, but he said, I really want to just destroy Americans in swimming and in Michael Phelps in particular. And he ends up losing like a douche.
Yep. Like they do. Frog I'm surprised he didn't surrender.
Bastard.
Yep. I'm surprised he didn't quit. I'm surprised he didn't swim 200 of those 400 meters ago. That's it. I'm out, guys. White flag.
All right. Well, I have highlights of the opening ceremonies. And
wow.
I might not be the right guy to be recapping that. That's just my guess. It takes somebody with a little bit of, I would say, historical knowledge and perhaps an artistic side. I have neither, so that might not go well. Also on today's show, we have Harvey Levin from TMZ.com.
Oh,
talking about tell us who's killing all of our black celebrities. No hey, before kidding. You get too deep into what's going on the show, special listener standing by to find out what data
is. Oh, sorry. I know Bean's excited about that, and he did open it up to the listeners.
I did. This is the first time we've ever done this, is give you the opportunity to be part of the open of the show, and I'm very excited to debut contestant number one.
It is Monday the 11th of...
August. All right. Yeah. Yumi. Yeah. Come on. Yeah. August. All right.
A little tribute to Rodney there, I think, is what's going on.
Okay. Is that supposed to be Rodney?
I had no idea.
I don't know. It sure sounds like something he would say.
Well, I guess, but wow.
Well, thank you for that, listener. You can call the Kevin and Bean Afro line if you'd like to be considered to open the show this month.
Is that kind of what you guys are hoping for? That kind of call
exactly.
right there?
Well,
okay,
super
good.
Sexy.
Are you happy with that?
Yeah,
right.
Exactly. There you go.
I find it funny that there's a group that wants to change Gay Boulevard to Southern Baptist Way. That seems odd.
I think for revenge now, instead of referring to people as gay, we should refer to them as Southern Baptists. See how they like it then.
Love that.
Now let's change the term to Southern Baptists, and then they have to change the name of the road again.
That's a great idea.
And their church.
Madden NFL 09 comes out tonight at midnight.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
A lot of people
20th
excited
year,
about that.
I think.
Brett Favre is a Packer on the cover. Funny.
Yep.
We might check in with Scotty in heaven as his ashes were going to go up into heaven, perhaps into the stars, and didn't quite make it.
Oh, that's so sad.
They might have just blown up.
Yeah.
And just been spread everywhere. So that's not good. And we have we have passes for you to go to the premiere of Tropic Thunder. Ralph has that coming up in the Showbiz Beat.
I can't wait for that movie.
So listen for that. Ralph's up next.
I can't wait to hear what Jack White is going to come up with for the James Bond theme. Remember, Ralph was telling us about that a few weeks ago?
Oh, yeah.
It's
going
to be
yep.
Jack White and Alicia Keys, I believe he said, are going to be working together on a theme. So hopefully we'll have that very soon. It's 5:48.
I just hope the Armenian comedian plays the recorder like he does on that song.
That sounds a little bit like it. It's Monday morning. Here's Ralph Garman. Good morning, Ralph. How was your weekend?
Good morning. It was excellent. What did everybody do besides watch the freaking Olympics? Which I did not join you in on.
You don't watch any of it?
No.
I'm kind of enjoying it.
Oh, sweet Jesus.
They have badminton.
Well, had I known that, I would have tuned right in. Much ado about nothing.
Fencing.
This freaking Olymp fencing.
That's how I feel, too. About 90% of it. I really do.
Stop it. Just stop pretending
but they
it
roll
matters.
Like mother effers.
They sure do.
They do row. There's a lot of rowing.
And when you think they're done rowing, they row some more.
I just feel bad for the athletes. Because I get the sense that this really isn't even about sports competition anymore. It's all about a TV show, and it's a political event, and it's a place to be seen and stuff. And I just feel like they take away the actual point of the whole thing, which was for these amateurs sort of to compete against each other. The whole thing's sort of been polluted and twisted in the past 20 years or so.
That's possible.
Especially when they start letting pros, like, I mean, I know we don't want to lose in basketball, so you send Kobe and stuff over there.
Right.
But it just seems like it just queers the whole situation to me.
That's a good point.
I feel bad.
At least the Americans only won their basketball game by 30, by the way.
Yeah, I know. Yeah,
that's the kind of exciting competition you look for in the Olympics.
The best, but remember like when the U.S. hockey team was made up of kids from college and they went there and crushed the, not crushed, but they beat Russia and then they beat the Swedes or whoever it was to win the gold medal? I mean, that was meaningful. That meant something. That was really kind of a cool event. Now it seems like it's about NBC and numbers and... You know, TV shows.
And you get the impression, some of them, I don't know why I feel this way, but I do, are playing for endorsements more than they're playing for medals.
Yeah, they you know, And the fact that they spent
like Michael Phelps, a guy like Michael Phelps, for instance, seems like he's a giant walking commercial rather than he is an athlete.
It seems like there are a few good human interest stories that happen in the course of the Olympics every year. And those things sort first surface to the top for me. I find them in the news, whatever, that 41-year-old broad who did right. well swimming or whatever.
Yeah, right. She's
I find
pretty that amazing.
Stuff, I just can't wade through it all. It's too much
time. It is few and far between. That's true. You have to TiVo and just fast forward through most of it.
Yeah.
And you slow down every once in a while to catch a little of the flavor. But you can't sit there and watch the whole thing. No.
At the end of it, they should package together a two-hour special just showing you the stuff that you would really had watched if you were actually watching.
For those who wanted to watch but couldn't put up with it.
Right. Here you go. Here's a two-hour special. The guy left flame. Somebody win an event. Give it a couple medals. Boom. 2 hours. You're in bed.
Hour.
Hour. Okay.
1 hour.
But 90 minutes. We'll split the difference.
All right. Did you see a little of your EAGLES on Friday, though?
I was watching preseason football a lot this week.
How was that? Satisfying?
Yeah. The first team looks good. You better hope that McNabb and Westbrook never get hurt because everyone else looks horrible. But they had two good opening drives and... Pittsburgh looks good, though, too. I mean, a lot of good San Diego Chargers look terrific. They look awesome. So it was a lot of fun.
They should do the Olympics before the football season because it is it pales a bit.
Yeah,
to me.
I can't wait to get started. Just chomping at the bit.
Well, I thought about your man, Donovan McNabb, now that all the black celebrities are on a hit list. I thought I'd be very nervous if I were any of them, including Donovan.
As they systematically try to remove all the blacks from show business. This
Seriously, who's behind this, man? Is this... I mean, who could be doing this in white? I wonder if it's politics. They don't want them to be able to be out there getting votes for Barack Obama, so they're just killing them?
I think it's Jay Leno.
Hey, guys, it's possible that a couple of them just died.
Oh, that's why you want us to believe, white devil.
Wow.
That's what you'd like
really?
To believe.
I'm just saying, like,
oh, yeah. Oh, no.
Different things.
Just a coincidence that there's a lot of drugs in the inner city. Yeah, I know how you roll.
Wow.
You poison my people.
You cash your government check or just spend it? What do you do?
Yeah. You.
Do I cash it or just spend it?
You're part of the government conspiracy.
I just spend it. I don't cash it.
Okay. You probably have to cash it to spend it, don't you?
Just spend it. I guess you will.
Spend it immediately. Spend it as paper.
Without cashing.
I will trade you the piece of paper for some gum. That's what it does. There's a money bean right there.
Yep.
Do you cash your check or just spend it?
Yeah, maybe I could have said that better. Well, I was just surprised to find someone in our own group part of the conspiracy. That's all. Just it knocked me back.
All right, enough of my yakking. Let's rock. I got tickets to give away.
Yes.
The premiere of Tropic Thunder.
Yay!
This is the real deal. This is the red carpet, star-studded, big-time Hollywood premiere, and it happens tonight, August the 11th in Westwood, California. I've got one pair of passes to give away to a lucky, lucky K-Rock listener. You get to see Ben Stiller, Robert Downey Jr., Jack Black. It all happens tonight. Tropic Thunder, one of the most anticipated comedies of the year by far. I mean, people were talking about this thing when they were making it.
Yeah. It looks really funny to me.
It looks hysterical, and Tom Cruise apparently has a very special role in it as well. He supposedly, this is the thing that's going to bring his career back. You got Steve Coogan, one of my favorite British actors, playing the director of these three movie stars who go into the jungle to make a movie and end up fighting a real war.
That's war.
Very, very funny. And Robert Downey Jr., of course, couldn't be hotter, coming off an Iron Man. Plays an Australian actor who's so committed to his role that he undergoes surgery to look black so he can play a black dude. Gotta love that. If you'd like to go, be caller number... Let's see, what's today? August 11th? How about caller number 11? 1-800-520-1067. If you're caller number 11, you will get to go to the very special red carpet world premiere of Tropic Thunder tonight in Westwood. So, good luck, everybody! Since we're talking about movies, let's take a look at the top 10 movies at the box office, as we do every Monday morning. You just can't beat The Batman. Just cannot beat Dark Knight.
Do it again.
It will not go away. Number one for the fourth weekend in a row. Once again, just barely beating out the number two movie this weekend, but The Dark Knight pulled in $26 million. If you add in the IMAX theaters, that's $31 million.
I don't remember the last film that was number one for 4 weeks in a row. It doesn't seem like that ever happens anymore.
Last film that was 4 weeks in a row, number one, I think was Shrek 2.
Which
The Dark Knight just beat out to become the third best grossing film of all time behind Star Wars and Titanic.
Wow.
Pineapple Express was number two. A lot of people say Pineapple Express hurt itself in the weekend box office because it opened on Wednesday And that money doesn't get totaled in for the weekend.
Oh,
total.
I thought it did. Just,
no.
Oh, a lot of the rabid fans saw it Wednesday, Thursday. That right. money doesn't count toward the weekend.
So it made $40 million since it opened on Wednesday, but they only go by the weekend box office total, and that was $22.4 million. That's why it's number two this weekend.
Seems lame. It's not like they're not making it on Wednesday, Thursday.
Yeah, but that goes towards the overall total. You'd have to start, you'd have to start counting every movie that was out or not out from Wednesday on, and that's just not how they keep the records. So Pineapple Express came in at number two. The Mummy, Tomb of the Dragon Emperor was number three. Sisterhood of the Traveling Pants in its debut did reasonably well, made $10.8 million, making it number four this
weekend. How was that, Dean?
You have to ask the king, man. Oh. That's not for me.
Right.
Oh, they have the pants that they trade to each other.
They're magic.
And then they put like a panda on them. Step Brothers was number five. Mamma Mia was six. Journey to the Center of the Earth came in at number seven. Then Hancock, Swing Vote, WALL-E, The X-Files, I Want to Believe, and Space Chimps still hanging in there at number 10, inexplicably.
Yes.
That's the sleeper biggest movie of the year right there.
Space Chimps. Insane. Warner Brothers is already talking about doing a Sisterhood 3.
Well, you can't keep magic pants down.
No, you can't.
You know?
That's, if we've learned anything, we've learned that you can't keep magic pants down. Kevin and his people killed off a couple black people this weekend. Congratulations,
what
Kevin.
What are you talking about?
Comedian Bernie Mac passed away Saturday morning from complications due to pneumonia.
Lisa cried.
I did, a little bit. I was really sad.
Hmm.
Why is that surprising?
Well, a lot of celebrities die.
Well, don't you sometimes get sad when a particular celebrity dies?
I sometimes feel sad, but I
was very sad about
almost
Bernie Mac.
Rarely. Well, I'll go as far as I never cry.
Really?
Yeah.
No. Lisa had a special. Don't cry easily.
Lisa had a special relationship with Bernie Mac.
Come on, America!
I knew him back.
Why
in
are you crying about me?
The thing about a guy like the Mac versus, say, George Carlin, who I was also very
the
sorry
Mac.
To see die.
The car.
Yeah.
The car, right?
God, is the Mac in the car? Yeah.
George Carlin was 70 in his 70s. He'd accomplished a lot. Bernie Mac, I felt like, still had some great work ahead of him. I was really looking forward to what he was going to do next because he's very talented.
You know what he was talking about doing next before he died was retiring.
Was he really?
Yes. So that's what you had to look forward to.
Well,
long
F that guy.
Retirement.
Who needs that guy anyway?
It is sad he leaves behind a wife and a young daughter, so that hurts. But Bernie was suffering from an autoimmune disease called sarcoidosis, which already weakens the lungs, causes inflammation in the tissue, primarily the lungs, and then compounded with the pneumonia, apparently was just too much for his body to take. So,
didn't you have his spokesperson on the record at the end of last week saying that he was fine and all the reports of him being near death were greatly exaggerated?
Yes.
That's what I thought.
Once again, the publicists stepped forward to give us the real deal. And Isaac Hayes was found dead this weekend as well.
By an exercise machine, Bean.
Next to a treadmill.
That's what I'm saying. See, that's what I'm saying.
Yep.
That's why you should stay off it.
Bean.
You know?
Right. He was found unresponsive by family members yesterday afternoon at his Memphis home near his treadmill. By the time he was taken to the hospital about an hour later, he had passed away at the age of 65 years old. Isaac Hayes, by the way, coolest nickname ever in show business.
Yeah.
He was known as the Black Moses of Soul.
Yeah!
Wow! That's,
come on.
Is it available now?
Yeah, sure. You want it?
I would love that.
You could be that.
Kevin Ryder, the Black Moses of Soul. I guess they ran out of souls. They had the Godfather of Soul. They had the Queen of Soul.
Right to the Black Moses.
The last next they had was, let's see, Moses of Soul? Moses. Was Moses black? How about the Black Moses of Soul? All right. I'll take it.
He was such a sex symbol back in the 70s. He used to have these outfits. You know, he's a big, strapping, black, bald guy, right? And he'd have these outfits where he's wearing, like, chains, or nothing but chains around him and stuff, and just...
You miss that, Bean, do you?
I just... Had an album
he was a big strapping black man.
Okay, what?
A big mandingo of love.
He had an album titled Black Moses, which is where the nickname came from.
Oh,
but
okay.
It's funny to see some of those outfits that he wore back in the day.
I think he's gay.
And of course, he was a chef.
Not Isaac Bean.
Chef on South Park. That's all
sure.
A lot of our audience remember
him. Of course, yeah.
But then he left because of Scientology.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Scientology.
What happens when you quit that show, man? The South Park guys got a hit team.
Vitamins and exercise. That's what the Scientologists believe, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. I think they found him next to his treadmill clutching a bottle of vitamins. So maybe that wasn't the best.
Did you cry over Isaac Hayes, Lisa?
No.
No. F him.
He's 65. Whatever.
All right.
All right. Apparently you can die 64 or older is Lisa's death line.
That's my cutoff.
Cries under. Could care less over.
How about Anthony Hart? Carrie's Hart's little brother. That is sad. Oh. Anthony was only 21 years old, and he died crashing during a warm-up session for a motocross race in Connecticut.
No.
So, that's sad news, too.
Oh.
You going to cry now, Lisa?
I hadn't heard that.
He was 21. You should be bawling.
Just had Carrie on a couple weeks ago. And, you know, he lost his wife this last year. His dog drowned. Now his brother's dead. Dude's going through a rough patch.
Sure is. Hey, why isn't this happening?
I don't know.
Something went wrong here. Oh, there we go. Kim Kardashian.
Glendale.
Wants us to know that she doesn't want to be a reality star for the rest of her life.
Okay.
She has announced she wants to be taken seriously as an actress.
Well, what has she done?
Is someone forcing her to?
You'll be seeing her in the upcoming new film, Disaster Movie.
Yeah.
Which is one of those spoof movies where they make fun of a lot of different movies.
I hope Leslie Nielsen's in it.
I'm Anderson.
She will be taken seriously as an actress by being in Disaster Movie.
Yeah.
Sure.
That comes out soon.
Okay.
So, she said she was a ball of nerves before she began shooting because acting's hard.
I had an immediate urge to fling off my bikini.
Yeah, me too. And Matthew McConaughey has a backyard.
That is a hell of a story.
So does Kim Kardashian.
And it's creeping me out.
Why?
Matthew has taken the placenta of his new baby boy Levi and is using it to fertilize his orchard in his backyard.
Of course he is.
Fruit trees.
Hippies. I mean, period. F*** hippies. Been saying that my whole life. Mm-hmm. Been saying it till I die. F*** hippies.
Yeah.
The hippie actor believes that the afterbirth will force his orchard of trees to produce a special, wonderful fruit.
Shut up!
Oh, man! Really?
Maybe it'll grow little babies on the tree.
Has he gone bye-bye?
He's been bye-bye. You kidding me?
Wow.
Dude gets naked, smokes dope, and plays bongos.
Yeah.
What do you think?
I guess that is a sign, perhaps.
So, I wouldn't eat anything off of Magic Company's fruit trees. That's just...
No. Want some fruit? I'm not in the mood.
Not enough steps removed for me from the whole afterbirth process. Apples growing with umbilical cords. Hanging off the tree by umbilical cords. Some weird human fruit hybrid creature growing off his tree. I don't trust
it. Herniated belly button.
Oh, stop it with your belly button.
Could be.
No one cares.
You
taking
don't
pictures
know, man.
Of it and blogging.
Today's celebrity birthday is our pal Joe Rogan.
Yes.
Of course, longtime MMA announcer and fan, news radio Fear Factor, 41 years old today. Chris Kelly of Criss Cross, make you wanna
jump.
He is 30 years old today. Hulk Hogan, the Hulkster. Be good and eat fruit.
he says goodbye.
He is 55 years old today. But the reason we celebrate today, obviously, has to be the birthday celebration of J-Boog from B2K. J-Boog.
That's great. Really?
Happy birthday, J-Boog.
That's great.
He is 23 years old today. Keep booging.
Or whatever it is you do.
Whatever it is you do, J-Boog. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
The president of Georgia says he's not crazy, pulling back troops from South Ossetia, trying to maintain a ceasefire that the Russians may not be interested in keeping.
Georgian forces have pretty much withdrawn out of South Ossetia. They're certainly out of Skinvali, the regional capital. They are withdrawn. They are about 2 kilometers from where I am. There are tank positions, artillery fairly well dug in.
President Bush, on his way home from the Beijing Olympics, ordered U.S. planes to take Georgian troops serving in Iraq back home, which PO'd the Ruskies. The main problem here, we can't do that much, and anything that is done threatens a key pipeline through Georgia, so watch oil prices head back up. On the Linwood-Compton line, a woman comes out of a house, shot in the belly. The suspect, her boyfriend, stayed inside with their little child. The SWAT siege and sheriff's deputies finally went in and killed the man. Today, supposedly, the state's going to start paying minimum wage. But Controller Chiang may do nothing, and there may be nothing that the governor can do but take it to court. Angels won, Dodgers lost, Phelps gets another medal on the relay team, and the U.S.-China Olympic basketball game may have had the largest audience in history. Oh yeah, we won. Once again, from the 70s to the upper 90s in the valleys. 62 at K-Rock, I'm Doc on the Rock.
You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show on the world famous K-Rock 106.7 KROQ at 13 minutes after 9 o'clock.
That song's not the tiniest bit annoying. I don't know what everyone's talking about.
Well, finally here, guys. 8808, the Olympics in Beijing, China. All the talk leading up to it has been, what about the air quality? What about the poor athletes that are out there running around in masks trying to perform at the top of their ability when they can barely breathe? What about them?
Aren't there Olympians that are not going because they're afraid of hurting themselves with the air? How bad can it be?
I did hear there were some guys who were dropping out. I mean, they, you know, you can complain all you want about the occasional poor air quality days in Los Angeles. It's nothing compared to a lot of cities around the world. Places like Mexico City where you can't even see the buildings that you're standing in front of, the air so bad. And, you know, Beijing's been working on this problem for the last year or so, trying to improve it, closing down factories, moving some factories further out of the, from the city. But
They just go, you don't have a job. We need to close the factory. Yeah. That's too bad.
That's exactly right, yeah. In case you're wondering, the short version of why that makes a big difference is in your blood, if you get carbon monoxide, you breathe in carbon monoxide, that makes less room for oxygen in your blood cells. So basically, you get winded faster, you can't operate as efficiently. So it's been a real, real problem for air quality over there, and we'll see how it plays out in the games. But one of the correspondents that's over covering it for Channel 4, because you know NBC's got the Olympic Games, is our old friend Doug Kriegel, who has trouble breathing here at home. Let's see how he's doing on the streets of Beijing right now as he joins us on the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock. Good morning, Doug. Doug? Is that you?
Doug Kevin and Bean. It's me, Doug Kriegel.
Oh, you were the wrong guy to send over there, Doug.
Hold on a second. Okay. Kevin and Bean, I'm here in the streets.
Do you have an oxygen tank?
As you said, Kevin, some athletes are refusing to come to Beijing because they're afraid of hurting themselves with the air.
Right? How's that working out for you, Doug? I'm sorry, what? Doug?
It's okay.
Doug, could you describe for us, since you're there on the street in Beijing, what's the air like there this morning?
Thick.
Well, that's not what you want.
Is that good? Doug? We can't make out what you're saying, Mr. Krieger. I'm sorry.
I'm outside the bird's nest.
You're outside the bird's nest. That's where they're having the opening ceremony.
Beijing's National Stadium.
Okay. Do you need to come back, Doug?
It's barely visible.
You can barely see it? You're right outside it? Doug? It's not easy to listen to. Mr. Kriegel?
Through the hay.
Doug, how bad do you think it's going to be for the athletes throughout the next 2 weeks who are going to have to compete in this?
Well, many experts.
Many experts
are concerned.
Are concerned.
The athletes. Athletes may have a hard time talking.
They have a hard time talking.
Two reporters. What did they do with their interview?
Doug, I don't know that you're going to survive the length of the game. You can't live in that for 2 weeks. You can't breathe here. Doug?
Oh, help me. Jesus, God, help me.
I'm going to get in there and airlift Doug out.
Damn it. I am coming down. Where's Chuck Henry? Chuck Henry.
I can't hear you. You're going to Chuck E. Cheese?
Send Chuck Henry.
Okay.
Say what you will about the Olympics, and I know we all watched various degrees of it over the weekend, but it's hard to find a program this popular around the world as the Olympics. Over 2 billion people had already seen the opening ceremonies before it even aired in the United States on Friday night, because, of course, NBC had to tape delay it because of the time difference to Beijing. Billions of people saw the show that you're about to recap for us here in 5 minutes, Kevin.
Yeah, they wow, that was something. And I'm going to say right up front, I know that I'm not the right guy to deal with this because you need some understanding of history, which I have none of.
But you shouldn't have to have any understanding of history. You should have be able to sit back and have them explain it to you. I mean, if that's the point of it, is to say, look at what a great country China is, and here's why. If it's the first thing you ever heard about China, they ought to make it simple enough for you to get.
You need some kind of an appreciation of art. Not sure I'm that guy. But what I love about it is that they try to they overreach, I think, every time. I mean, they really do try to cram 5,000 years in this case into about 30 minutes. They have to tell you all of their accomplishments and what they're known for and the people back in the 1200s or whatever. And they really, and I might not be the guy to make this all make sense, but the beginning.
The footprints in their history stretch back 5,000 years. But for the world's greatest wall builders, makers of a forbidden city, what happens tonight is not merely a small step, but a great leap. China is welcoming the world. Who will they be when this is over?
I'm guessing China.
Still China. Yeah, I probably won't change.
Might Maybe not have understood that.
Not at all.
Welcoming the world.
I think I'm out on any show where people talk like that.
Yeah, I didn't quite get that. And then Jim Lampley, they dusted off old Tom Brokaw, old marbles in the mouth Tom Brokaw.
Yeah, they sure did.
And they brought him out to kind of make sense of it and really kind of tell us what's really going on behind the scenes.
An appropriately vast perspective, and now the 17 momentous days. What do you think we might expect, Tom?
Jim, there are two great walls in this country, the Great Wall the tourists go to and the Great Wall surrounding the ruling class.
Oh, look at that. Great Wall, Great Wall. How does he do it?
Mm-hmm.
How did that guy get a job? Tom, I'm the wrong guy to be asking
he's
that,
good.
But...
The rulers believe, first and foremost, in control. We'll see how much they're challenged. So I think at the end of 17 days, we'll either have a giant step forward or maybe two steps back.
Oh, really? We got you out of the grave to come tell us that it might be better, might be worse. Really? Those are your two options?
I think he's making a reference to what has been in the news a lot lately, which is how China is trying to stop people from protesting, stop people from finding out things around the world that they don't want them to know.
Do we need him to come back from the dead to tell us that it might be better, it might be worse? They had to breathe life into his body a second time.
You know, he's the host of Meet the Press now. He's on television every single week. He's not really back from the dead.
I don't watch that show. And then they had 2008 drummers, and they yelled a lot. A lot of that.
How remarkable was it, though, to see the precision of thousands of people on the stadium floor at one time? They weren't following anyone. They didn't have a leader who was keeping time for them. They were all doing it based on rehearsal. And it was pretty impressive.
It really was, yeah.
Yeah. Visually,
it was pretty cool.
But then you go, they worked out every day for 8 months.
Well, after 10 minutes, I did.
I wonder if that was worth it. Because after tonight, I mean, they're probably not going to do that again.
Probably not.
Then some people started flying around in some costumes.
These flying figures here, these apsaras, will be familiar to anybody who has seen Buddhist iconography anywhere in the world. They symbolize peace and harmony. And
Let me guess. And it can be found in the Dunhuan Caves, which are wonderfully preserved Buddhist art masterpieces out in the desert area of the Gansu Project.
Can be found in the Dunhuan Caves.
Ah, wow!
Which are wonderfully preserved Buddhist art masterpieces out in the desert area of Gansu Province.
Yeah, look, everyone knows that. You don't need to explain that to us.
Very impressive.
Come on.
I thought that guy was a nice addition to the broadcast team, by the way. He is the NBC Chinese expert, and he's the guy who knows everything there is to know about China. And I thought he had some real... useful comments.
Then there was some more of this. I got scared. I got to be honest.
I did feel like they were going to war at one point.
Then they did the national anthem, which I find a comic title.
Ladies and gentlemen, please stand for the Chinese national anthem.
The Chinese anthem is entitled March of the Volunteers.
So I had to go back to the dictionary and look up volunteer. I'm not a overly political guy, but doesn't that mean that they're doing it on of their own free will?
Yes.
Yeah. That's a poorly named national anthem. in this particular case. Mm-hmm. Then they had this giant scroll-like looking thing that kind of moved, and it was kind of 3D.
Some people at home might be looking at the floor and saying, how are they accomplishing that beautiful image on the floor? This is one of the world's largest LED screens, 230 feet long by 70 feet wide.
And I thought, I got to get one of those to watch football on. 270 feet by 70 feet?
You're pretty proud of your big screen until you see that, man.
That'd be awesome. And then they told us that they invented paper and printing and kites. And then they had like some kind of a weird printing press. And I couldn't figure out how they did it.
And how'd they do it? They did it with people. Not computers, not hydraulics, people. It's unbelievable. Jaw-dropping. Don't go away. Why would you?
Because there's football on another channel? That's my only thought there.
All right, let's do this. We're three guys sitting in what will soon be a soccer stadium talking about LEDs and drums, but you know what? This is one of those moments where we have to stop and ooh and ah a little bit about the costumes.
Yay! So we're going to toss it down to Ryan Seacrest on the red carpet.
I'm shocked that Ryan Seacrest wasn't there, by the way. It does seem like this is the only big event of the last 5 years that he hasn't been a part of.
Now, not to be an ugly American, but I'm an ugly American. And if you have dreams that are modest by the rest of the world's standards, maybe don't highlight them.
And we're looking now at what we're calling Taikonauts. Explain that.
Well, there are three of them, and that is how many astronauts, Taikonauts as the Chinese call them, they have put into space. China with a plan to put a man on the moon by 2024, but a moment of tremendous national pride when the first astronauts went into space a couple of years ago.
I did laugh out loud that they used part of the opening ceremony to spotlight their space program,
yes,
which they basically don't have. Hi. I mean, they basically have sent three guys up on somebody else's ship is all that's happened.
A couple of years ago.
Yeah, and they're talking about getting a man on the moon, which we did 40 years ago. So you're really bringing up the rear here.
That's what I'm saying.
Maybe Utke that from the Ogram Prey is what I'm suggesting.
You've got a plan to put a man on the moon by 2024. Hey, woo-hoo. How about moving that up to, I don't know, 2020, 2019, too soon? Don't highlight that, perhaps. And then Bob, who was telling us all night how spectacular this thing was. And I do have to say, I've been at I think it was closing ceremonies of an Olympics. And it really, when you're there, it so comes to life. There's color everywhere you look. Top as high as you can see, as low as you can. But it doesn't really translate as well on the TV. So we were told many times.
There are and will be issues and disagreements surrounding these games. But I don't see how anyone could dispute the quality of this opening ceremony. What a stunning, stunning achievement.
They did get universally high marks from everyone around the world that it was a spectacular ceremony.
I get through it, I'll let you know.
The most money spent on any opening ceremonies was almost $30 million, and they spent $300 million in a country that has half a billion people live on $2 a day.
Yeah.
Seems like maybe not the best use of their
money. Not a show for the world, man.
But it's gone now. It's over, and okay, that looked cool. And then this happened.
And now the Tai Chi performers and the kids themselves.
Now, here's the thing about this that I love, is that they really, it's just some kids, they're yelling, and then there's some birds projected onto a screen on the top of the stadium. I don't know where he gets all this from, but I wish I was on whatever he's taking.
And now the Tai Chi performers and the kids themselves looking up towards the roof of the stadium where on the giant scrim are appearing images of a hopeful time, a moment when birds return, when the conflicts between man and nature have been resolved, and where a model that allows both prosperity and environmentalism flourishes.
You. There has been a controversy going on in a suburban San Antonio, Texas neighborhood. The Second Baptist Church there has filed a petition to change the name of the street that they're on. Well, I mean, they're on Gay Street, but
they're on what?
The name of the street. They're complaining about the name of the street that they're on. It's Gay Street. Gay Street, and they want to change it to Second Baptist Way. And there's been a controversial story in Texas, as you can imagine. We thought, let's find out more about what's going on. How much can it possibly matter what street the church is on? Isn't it about what goes on inside the church, not outside? So we have
from the church, the pastor Cleet Bodwell, on the line with us now on the Kevin and Bean Show. Good morning, Pastor.
Well, good morning, Kevin and Bean. How are you?
We are good.
Very good okay. to hear that.
You're with the Second Baptist Church of San Antonio. Is that right, sir?
I am indeed, sir. Praise the Lord.
Now, you're trying okay. to get this street name changed.
Yes, sir. We believe that Gay Boulevard is not a proper address for our congregation.
It's kind of funny.
Maybe to you, sir.
Yes, it is. Yeah.
I'm not sure how you all behave out there in California, but here in Texas, we do not find it the least bit funny.
We're quite gay out here.
We're very gay is
so
how we
I've
behave.
Led to believe, so I've been led to believe with your sodomites and your homosexuality and your liberalism.
Hey, don't knock it till you've tried it, Pastor. Listen, Gay Street apparently
was... Are
we going
to have a real conversation, or are you just going to make with your hilarious morning comedy?
I apologize, sir. I apologize.
I was led to believe we are having an actual conversation here.
Yes, I withdraw the remark. With all respect, sir.
Very
Gay
well,
Street
man.
Was named after a community activist, someone who's done a lot of good work in the San Antonio area, whose last name happened to be gay. That's where the street name came from.
Yeah, that's what we need, more gay activists in this world. I think there's enough of them already, don't you think so?
Well, this wasn't an activist in gay issues. This is someone who did things to help people in the community of all sexual persuasions who happen to have a last name of Gay.
The person was an activist?
Yes.
And his name was Gay?
Yes.
That's right.
I rest my case.
But he wasn't a gay activist.
Or was he?
No.
No, he wasn't at all.
But his name was Gay and he was an activist.
Yes.
But you're telling me he's not a gay activist?
That's correct.
Right.
Oh, I see. How the Satan works by twisting the words off the tongue.
Is that how the Satan works?
That's how the Satan works.
All right. So your church paid the application fee of $500 to the city, you're willing to pay for the street signs
Absolutely.
To be changed.
Absolutely. We will incur all charges to the church, and we will get this situation righted so that once again God-fearing Christians can appear in church not tainted by the words of homosexuality and not tainted by their... aggressive recruitment program.
Oh, so you think that the sign is an attempt to recruit people?
Oh, most definitely. Your only way to church trying to give the Lord Jesus what is rightfully his, and suddenly, next thing you know, you're on Gay Street.
Right.
And then what's next? Sodomy Boulevard.
Well, I don't think anyone's suggesting...
Anal Sex Avenue.
Well, no one's going to become gay because they're on the street, are they?
Suckett cul-de-sac.
I would like to live on Suckett cul-de-sac.
We are not going to stand for this any longer. We're going to take a stand, and we're going to be God-fearing Christians here in the state of Texas, and we will make things different.
Have you had any trouble, Pastor, because of that sign?
I don't have any trouble, young lady. Maybe you have some trouble with your lesbiosity.
But she's just asking if you had any...
Yeah, if that sign was kind of swaying you a little bit.
No,
maybe.
I will not be swayed.
Uh-huh.
I am a soldier of the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. I will stand firm and hard.
Yeah?
As long as it takes.
Yes.
Through thick.
Yes.
And thin.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
I will stand erect. And this isn't the first of my plans to change this world to make it a better place.
You have other plans besides this one?
We will be banning from all our local public schools here in the state of Texas, if we have our way, the book Moby Dick.
Why?
Because... children will no longer be swayed by the giant white Moby Dick.
it's a story whale. About a whale, though. You understand there's nothing sexual in the book at all.
Or is there?
No, there isn't at all.
I might have to read that. We will have all the closets removed from our church so that none of our churchgoers may hide in one.
Wow.
But where will they hang their coats in winter weather?
They will hang it on the Lord Jesus' shoulders.
Okay. All right.
If we can find his shoulders, we know where they are.
Seems hard to find, but okay.
We will no longer be watching the Olympics.
Why?
What's wrong with the Olympics?
I was watching it this weekend.
Yeah.
And you know when they play badminton, they hit around something called a shuttlecock?
Yes, they do.
Well, right?
No, sir. I will not stand for that. Not until they change the name to the shuttle vagina.
Well, I don't think
in badminton.
That doesn't really refer to
a body part.
Body part, yeah, as much as it does just a little.
So I should call back Sony Pictures then and tell them to change the name of the movie Hancock to Hand Vagina?
No, I don't think that's useful at all either. No, none of those examples have anything to do with sexuality at all. They're just words. They're just words, Pastor.
We shall not be flying on any major airlines until they have totally female pilot staffs.
Why?
Because no man should be in a cockpit.
Oh,
come on.
It doesn't have, it's not
only
like
women,
that.
Only women should be in the cockpit.
Yeah.
That's Pastor. The way the Lord made it. Uh-huh. And the Lord said unto thee, thou shalt fly a 747.
Where did, what part of scripture is that?
Book of Bill.
Book of Bill.
There's a book of Bill?
Do some research, I say to thee. Unto okay. you. And
wait,
we're demanding that the Dallas Cowboys change their quarterback.
Oh, how come?
Tony Homo.
Well, you got a good point there, Robert.
A little too close to home.
Yeah.
For me.
I can see that.
Personally. He's so gay.
He is, yeah. He's not
well, way gay.
This, Mike, this is the guy in Texas saying this, too. I want you to notice.
Ouch. Gay, gay, gay.
Right.
Cowboys are gay.
Yes, they are. Thank you.
Jordan is known for being a relatively progressive Arab nation.
And don't go on.
This, their flag bearer is one of four women on the team. Only three men join them, so the women in this case are the majority.
Look at the pride on these faces. They've been in a holding area outside waiting their turn to walk into the stadium and, boy, making the most of it.
Yes, they are. First of all, why you got to put the women in the holding area? And second of all, they were walking the hell out of that thing.
Why you got to put pride all over their faces, too, by the way?
Mad face.
All right, you guys.
Jordan is so progressive, they play bagpipes there. That's how progressive Jordan
that was,
is.
That was China, and they had that going through about half of the 16 hours of the Parade of Nations. I don't know where they, why they...
Sometimes, Kevin, you don't know this because you don't follow...
Play bagpipes.
You don't follow the political climate so much, but sometimes China thinks it's Scotland.
Is that right?
Yes.
Wow.
They get very confused over there.
Well, then they would change music, and then they would go... back to the bagpipes. What is this?
And that was what the only this? Song they knew, too, by the way. And what was
with the, this.
What was with the Chinese cheerleaders that had to dance for the entire, like, 20 hours of the opening ceremony, just standing there going through their workout hour after hour?
If they don't, they get shot.
They do, that's
oh,
true.
Is that what how China rolls? Okay.
What's dance up with die. Madden NFL 2009? We'll talk to the man himself coming up after 7. Right now, Ralph's got the showbiz beat for Monday morning. What's going on, Ralph?
As we do every Monday morning, we'll take a look at the top 10 movies at the box office over the weekend. The Dark Knight continues its juggernaut. Number one for four weekends in a row. Made $26 million, about $31 million to add the IMAX theaters in. That makes it, I don't know, it's a $27 billion so far it's made or something like that.
In 2 days.
Yeah. Pineapple Express was number two in its debut, made $22.4 million this weekend, making it number two. However, it made $40 million since its release on Wednesday.
And they got to be happy with that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Let me give you an idea. It cost about $25 million to make. So if you can almost double your budget in one weekend, that's a pretty good
deal. I hope there are more weekend. Weed action movies now.
Me too.
That is a movie that will live forever on DVD too. People always want to see movies like that on DVD.
Back to you, Ralph.
What?
I'm just thinking, will it live forever on DVD?
No, I'm just
what,
saying.
Like in a, you know, if there's a nuclear war or something, won't the
well,
DVDs
no, it won't
melt
survive
then
that.
At that
it
point?
Won't survive that.
So I'm just saying, it won't live forever then. It'll just live a long time.
I'm just saying stoner comedies tend to do very, very well after they leave theaters. So this movie's got a lot of money still to be made is what I'm saying.
Why don't you say it that way then?
So you have to leave the theater for it to do well?
I understand.
Oh, God. Confused. I got a special story coming up for Nick, by the way.
Oh, really?
Made me think of it.
Oh.
Yeah, so let's get through these. The Mummy was number three. Sisterhood of the Traveling Pants, number two.
Oh.
Was $10.8 million, made it number four at the weekend. I rented Sisterhood of the Traveling White Pants.
Oh.
Over the weekend.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was good.
That's way good.
Step Brothers was five, Mamma Mia six, Journey to the Center of the Earth, Hancock, Swing Vote, Wall-E, X-Files, and Space Chimps, rounding out your top ten at the box office. Sad news for Nick, the window-licking sign carrier. Wolf Mother's splitting up.
Oh, that's sad news for all of us.
Nick loves Wolf Mother.
My favorite band!
I love Wolf Mother!
Wolf Mother's like, they're my personal Led Zeppelin!
What? Yeah, he said that once. I don't know what that means. His personal Led Zeppelin. He gets his own. The rest of us have to share. Apparently, Chris Ross, the keyboardist bassist for the band, and drummer Miles Heskett have left the Australian rock band Wolf Mother.
I'm sad.
After long-standing frictions with frontman Andrew Stockdale, But Andrew says he will continue the group with new members, so...
I'm sad.
Take heart, Wolf Mother fans. It will live on. Oh, Dave's upset.
Is he?
Oh, I like Wolf Mother.
Wolf Mother?
Wolf Mother, yeah. So, that's the news. The Disney Corporation, which is an excellent corporation, by the way.
They do good work.
We think very highly of them here on the Kevin and Bean Show.
Everything they do is top-notch and good.
Absolutely.
Nothing worth making fun of there.
They own the rights to the TV show Desperate Housewives.
Mm-hmm. Great show.
Excellent show.
Nothing wrong with that.
Disney produces good product.
Yes, they do.
Always. All the time.
But top there are notch. Two Swedish radio DJs.
Oh, a-holes.
Who are using the name for their morning show, calling it the Desperate House Guys. And Disney has slapped on them with a lawsuit.
I'm sorry. Are they in Sweden?
They are indeed, Lisa.
Really?
Two Swedish DJs use the name the Desperate House Guys. And Disney has complained to the Swedish organization that protects patents and brands and ordered the disc jockeys to stop.
That sounds unnecessary.
I bet that's a good show.
Oh, it's the best.
Good morning, we're the Desperate House Guys.
Yeah, it was crazy.
Yeah.
Disney's doing the right thing.
Disney's always doing the right thing. And
of course they are.
We respect them and love them and want to have their children.
Anyone who disagrees with that remark should be sued.
I agree, and long live Disney. All hail Disney.
Holla!
Holla to Disney. Kim Kardashian wants to be taken serious as an actress.
Because
she's a serious actress, Kevin.
And
she doesn't
want
to be just known
from...
as a reality star. She is starring in the new movie, Disaster Movie. It's one of those films where they take a bunch of pot shots at a bunch of different movies.
Well, spoofs are how serious actresses are born.
That's absolutely right.
Oh, wait.
And so she said, please go see her movie because she's serious.
Vahina.
In a related story, currently online, there's a new video game you can play that is a promotional tool for Disaster Movie. It's called Escape from Rehab, where you can play Amy Winehouse. As you break out of rehab, take on the Hulk and Batman, trying to free your husband from prison.
Oh, no. Is that for real?
Yeah.
Awesome.
Go to escapefromrehabgame.com if you'd like to play. So, there you go. Got that going for you.
Do they have Kevin climbing out of a window on Christmas
How
Eve? Is that part of the
you,
game?
Sir.
How dare you is right.
Did you walk out the door or did you actually literally climb out of a window? I don't remember how that story went, Kevin.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Remember that time you broke out of rehab at Christmas? Did you climb out the window or did you go out the door?
I went out the door.
Yeah.
Oh, you did? Okay.
Yeah.
How'd you lose your slipper
I
then?
I snuck.
How'd you lose your slipper?
I have no idea.
Yeah. Kevin coming in with one slipper on. Just a mess.
Disheveled.
There was a time.
Didn't have cab money.
There was a time
in a row.
Back in the day where Kevin used to lose a lot of clothing. And I don't know how he used to do it, but there was the story where he got off a plane once and he lost his pants.
Yeah.
That happened. And his wedding ring, if I recall, in the same flight.
That's correct. That was quite a flight.
That was a good story.
That was a good flight.
He found them both in the toilet afterwards. And Albert Hammond Jr. of the Strokes in the news today. Apparently, he was celebrating his engagement to model Agnes Dean in New York over the weekend.
What?
Agnes Dean is her name.
Okay.
Okay.
Have you seen her?
No,
I have not, but I'm assuming she's hot.
You should look her up.
Marrying her, yeah.
Yeah, apparently.
Was a hot Agnes?
Yeah.
Huh.
I think she's a foreigner.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
Yeah, because the Agnes is spelled A-G-Y-N-E-S-S.
That's you don't Agnes. Get Agnes. You don't get Agnes out of that.
And Dean is spelled D-E-Y-N.
Oh.
I bet she listens to Desperate House Guys.
So either she's Swedish or Dutch or
yeah.
Slovakian or Croat.
Hot.
Or Serb. Or Nigerian.
Nigerian. Something.
She's exotic is what I'm trying to tell you.
Okay. Right.
Maybe not from this country, I'm guessing.
So they're engaged, is the story?
Yes. So he's off the market, ladies. Sorry, I know a lot of our girls are big Albert Hammond fans, but they're tying the knot. So congratulations, Albert Hammond Jr.
They came to party, and they weren't disappointed.
And Sienna Miller and Balthazar Getty.
Yes.
Apparently back together again.
What? What? What happened to wooing his wife back?
Did you say his wife let him back in the house?
That's what I heard. Now I'm hearing the two of them are going at it again. The British tabloid The London Sun has photos of the two doing some shopping in Malibu over the weekend. Onlookers say apparently she calls the shots in the relationship. She would point at something and tell him to buy it, and he'd do it.
Yeah. I thought he was sleeping in his car out in front of his house waiting for his wife to let him back in and forgive him.
Dude, I hear you.
That was Friday. Today's Monday.
Apparently it's very tempestuous, their relationship. Back and forth. And some sad news, finally.
Yeah?
Bernie Mac's dead.
Yeah.
He died over the weekend. Lisa cried. The Black Moses of Soul, Isaac Hayes, also dead.
I got chocolate salty balls if you want to hear that, Ralph.
We don't have any time. I think it's already
fine.
We'll save that for the next hour. And the third triumvirate of death, Star Trek The Experience in Vegas is closing.
That's considered a celebrity death, is it?
Yeah. Hmm. Does to me personally.
Yeah.
Because you've been on the Star Trek The Experience, right, Kevin?
Don't think so, no.
It's cool.
It's cool.
Yeah. I've done it.
It was cool.
And now it's closing.
Is it in Las Vegas?
September the 1st.
Yes.
Yes.
Where there's free drinking and gambling?
Las Vegas Hilton. There's free gambling,
Vegas?
I'm going.
For me.
Oh, yeah, for you, because you make so much money. Yeah, apparently it had drawn over 3 million visitors, but it will be going out of business on September the 1st.
2 million of them were Roland.
Oh, stop it.
Single person going back over and over.
It was cool.
I'm transport very and stuff. Surprised cool. to see that one slowing down to the point where they think about closing. It seems like that's a built-in franchise that develops new fans all the time.
I'm surprised it ever got made.
How dare you?
I mean, really?
Especially
with Vegas. Who are you appealing to at that point? Come on.
Along with taking a little break from gambling and drinking, doing a little activity.
Kevin doesn't take breaks.
Take a little activity. Go see a show. Go see a
How Star low Trek on experience. The list is the Star Trek Experience, though? Even in non-gambling activities in Vegas.
It's high on the list because it's very fun.
And it's worth an hour if you're there for a weekend. What's the downside of going and seeing
you're
a cool
exhibit?
You're
in a Star Trek Experience. That's the downside.
You don't know. You don't know, man.
You don't know.
You are a Borg. You've been assimilated.
Is that right?
Yeah. Well, resistance is futile. Today's celebrity birthdays, Hulk Hogan, the Hulkster, is 55 years old today. Joe Rogan, our pal from Fear Factor, News Radio, MMA, 41 years old. Chris Kelly of Criss Cross, make you want to...
Jump.
He is 30 years old today. And Jay Boog.
Jay Boog.
Favorite singer?
I don't know
rapper,
what he does.
Singer.
Percussionist?
He boogs.
Craftsman? Bricklayer? What's he do, Jay Boog?
I don't think he's a bricklayer.
No. He's from B2K, which I think has something to do with Burger King. I haven't figured it out yet.
No.
But I think there's a tie-in.
No.
He is 23 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
I can't believe it, but this is the 20th year of the Madden NFL football video game. The 20th year. Over 70 million copies sold, and tonight the new Madden for 09 goes on sale at midnight at retailers everywhere, and we've got... the coach, the man himself, on the phone with us right now. Good morning, Mr. Madden.
Hey, guys. What's going on?
You must be very excited.
Yeah, I just got the check.
Just got the check.
The president of EA Sports, of course, the company that puts out your game, John, Peter Moore, says, we don't so much launch Madden anymore as we celebrate its arrival. It's the biggest thing going in football outside of the sport itself. Congratulations on a new season.
Yeah, it's just like in New York. They're celebrating their arrival.
Yeah, Brett Favre.
Jet Favre. I can say what I did there. I combined two things, the New York Jets and Brett Favre. I just got rid of the B and the R in Brett, and I think I took a T off too, but it's Jet and Favre, and I put them together, and it's just one thing, and it says it all.
I think we got that. What about the fact that Brett Favre is a Green Bay Packer on the cover of your game?
Yeah. I was worried that I was going to have to make all those changes myself, and apparently they have a department to do that. And I think you can download a couple things, or you can talk to, you know, or you can work magic spells, I think, or so. I don't know. Yeah, well, there's a lot of different things that I do. I just called Brett Favre over and said, hey, we're doing another photo shoot.
There you go. Yeah, anytime you get the opportunity to be in the room with the band, you will. Now, I remember how sad you were when it appeared like this time Brett was serious, he was going to retire, and then it's like you prayed to God and he heard you. Brett decided to come out of retirement and play again.
Yeah. It was a lot like that. Did you ever see that, Bruce Almighty, where he's playing out in the computer and he sees all the prayers and stuff like that?
Sure.
Uh-huh, sure.
I don't know how that ties in. But
I don't either.
something about prayers, and I thought it was going somewhere, and it didn't go somewhere. But that's the thing. What was the question?
I don't know.
How will Brett do with the Jets? I don't think they're as good a team as the Packers were. Is he going to be enough to make it worth having come out of retirement for?
I think it's always enough. I mean, you know, I was thinking as soon as I heard, start spreading the news. He's coming today.
Yeah.
He's going to throw those touchdowns in all New York.
Wow, you're very happy today.
Oh, it's unbelievable. I mean, but you know, in Green Bay, they're still going to retire Brett Favre's number.
Who are they?
They are. And I thought, you know, they should retire his number, not just from football, not just from the Packers, but from the entire numerical system. That's what I think they should do and replace it with Favre.
Wait, so there wouldn't be a number four anymore? It would be 1, 2, 3, Favre?
1, 2, 3, Favre, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18.
Do you think
I think that's the way to go.
Do you think you like him a little too much?
I could think you can't like a guy like that too much.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, and even here, not even just the number four, the syllable four, F-O-R, unforgettable.
Wow.
Hey, what's your favorite holiday, Kevin and Bean?
It'd be the Favre of July.
Favre of July.
Oh,
yeah, independent.
No.
A lot of people also like December 25th, Christmas Eve.
Sure. Yeah. Well, for those of you who are looking forward to another season of Mr. Madden calling the games and not hearing about Brett Favre every 15 seconds, apparently this isn't going to be the year for that because apparently they're both back.
Yeah, I mean, it's unbelievable. I mean, he's on the cover of the game. He thought that the Madden curse, you know, would be ended, and apparently it goes straight to your mental ability.
How about that? Tonight at midnight goes back on sale.
Oh, I can't wait. I'm going to go buy all of them.
You shouldn't have to, John. They should send you one for free, but thanks for joining us today.
Okay, guys.
And now, a moment with Bean.
You cash your government check or just spend it? What do you do?
That was a moment with Bean.
Brian, that doesn't make any sense.
You do one or do the other.
You do both, yeah.
I think maybe save it or bank it or spend it maybe would have been a better point, I was trying to say.
Sure. That was good.
It's 7:28 on the Kevin and Bean Show. Lots of good stuff coming up on today's show, including our friend Harvey Levin. Also, Ralph, I understand you're going to have some tickets to the new Rainn Wilson movie called The Rocker coming up in just a few minutes here, too.
Word.
So we're looking forward to that. First, though, you got a little bit of a complaint about something that arrived at your home in the mail the other day.
Yeah, I'm sitting at home.
Awesome junk mail.
I want to do, and I get the mail, and I'm opening up, and I say, oh, someone sent me an ad for a hotel near San Diego where kids stay free, apparently. It's close to SeaWorld, and they see the kids frolicking in the beach and in the pool. And everything is like, oh, and then I realized, no, it's a happy summer greeting card from Kevin.
I got one too.
Yeah! We hope you have a summer full of things you love, Kevin and Melissa and all the kids. And I said, wow, usually I have to suffer through greeting cards with pictures of kids on it at Christmas. Now I'm getting them in the summertime too. That's what's happening my world.
Were you delighted?
I wasn't so much delighted. I mean, don't get me wrong. They're beautiful kids. Sure. Kevin's twins are beautiful.
Seriously.
Girls. And they're great pictures, and it looks very...
A lineage.
I mean, they look like... it looks like model kids, right?
They it
look
does.
Like it should be in a catalog for Kids Gap or something. It looks like an ad.
Mm-hmm. They sure look like they're having fun.
They sure are having fun, and I think it's great that they're having fun, and I'm happy for Kevin and his wife and their whole family. I don't understand how I come into the mix, though, at any point in this conversation. I'm not quite sure how my involvement with the children or they're frolicking in the water or their beach time.
I'd love to get a copy of that.
Oh, easy. Rodney, come on.
I just don't see the tie-in.
Yeah, I called my wife after you mentioned this on Friday, and I said, how dare you put Ralph on our list of friends? And she said, I'm so sorry. I totally apologize.
Well, above and beyond, obviously, I shouldn't be on that list, but I don't understand the mentality behind the sending cards with the pictures of your kids to people.
There are certain people who don't care about you as much as they just kind of want to see an update. There are people who care, but you may not be that guy.
Well, here's the thing. Here's the problem I have with photo cards in general. Specifically, cards you get at Christmas with the kids on it or the family or whatever.
They're too good looking and you feel bad by that standard?
What it does is it perverts the whole greeting card dynamic, in my opinion. Because the greeting card, the purpose of the greeting card is supposed to be about the person you send the card to.
Yes.
Happy birthday to you.
That's
hope,
true.
Miss you. Hope you get well. Merry Christmas to you. I'm sorry for your loss. my sympathy to you. I mean, this is the basis of the greeting card. It's a note that you're sending to the person who's receiving the card because for some reason you're trying to express something to them, okay?
Mm-hmm.
That's the basic dynamic of the greeting card. When you start putting your own face or your children's faces on that card, you automatically make it about yourself. So you say, here, Merry Christmas to you. How about me? What do you think of me?
That's what picture cards are. But you're right.
Have a happy summer. Look at the summer I'm having because it's about me. Oh, how about me? Do you like my kids?
How much fun are we having?
How great is my life? And I'm like, oh, wait, I thought it was supposed to be on me. You sent me the cards. Where am I?
Check me out.
That's what the cards, when you put your own photo on it.
Hope you have a great
you
summer.
You don't care about
you
my
don't.
Summer at all.
You just
You're
want
saying,
to know.
Look at what a great summer I'm having with my kids. That's what this card is saying. It's not about the person you send it to.
Can I jump in for 1 second here, Ralph? This is Bean speaking. Of course, my card also arrived, and no one loves kids more than I do.
Right.
But my card arrived on Saturday, and I thought, you can't really come down on the monkey on this one because, like, he has any idea what's going on in his house
or what mail is being sent out with his name.
No, I'm just suggesting. I guarantee Kevin didn't have anything to do with this decision to take the pictures, make the card, or send the card out, or the list.
No, Melissa sent one to Kevin.
That's how he knew about it.
So he could see what his kids were up to. He was on the list.
I told my wife, do not send personal stuff to the bitter guy list. We have very specific stuff for that.
I'm not bitter. I don't care about one way or the other. I just always
to the guys who don't even like their own dogs.
It's
that list.
Curious to me, the whole phenomenon of sending photo cards, because as I mentioned, especially at Christmas time. That is supposed to be, I'm thinking of you at Christmas time. I want you to have a happy holiday. The minute you put, you slap your family's face on it, you're saying, this is about us now. Happy Christmas to us. You get to watch, pretty much is what you're saying when you send the photo cards.
There's no question that there has developed a divide in recent years. There's a small number of people who enjoy getting those and can't get enough information about the people that they're receiving mail from. And then there are the majority of people who really don't care about you or your family or ever want to hear from you again. And I think that's where the divide is coming in.
Or there's something in the middle, you know? But it's like the Christmas letters and the Christmas photo cards. It's instead of saying the purpose of the card is supposed to be thinking of you at the holidays, wish you have a Merry Christmas. The minute you include your family history in there or you put your family photo on it, it's about, this is Christmas for us. How about me? Look at me now.
Now, I will say that I enjoy Bean's Christmas photos because they're usually funny and they're designed to be that way. And
so it's like a comedy card.
Yeah.
So you get a chuckle out of it.
Yeah. That's okay with me.
I guess if you go that step, it takes a little bit of the sting out of it.
Yeah.
I'm still not crazy about the photo
cards. At least
he's
trying to amuse me.
But here's the other thing I'll say. Is that it's no skin off your teeth if you get a picture in the mail of somebody else's family. I mean, it shouldn't be something that upsets you or ruins your day or anything like that.
At least you got a friend
who thought about you, thought enough of you to send you something.
That's what I'm saying. They're not thinking about you.
Yeah, that was a mistake.
They're thinking about them. This is about us. That's what they say when they send that card. Look at us. Look how fun we are. You're not.
Yeah.
Look at us. Look at me. Look at
us.
The
card that I got, I've been asked to rate the kids on how good looking they are and send it back. There's a scorecard included in mine. I don't know if you got that or not.
They're tens, right? And I'm thinking the people who really want to see photos of people's kids or family, whatever, are probably close enough to people in their lives where they get to see the kids all the time.
Sure.
Or they get photos sent to them to grandma, grandpa in Florida, wherever they
family
are.
Family is
that's
a good
probably,
choice.
That's part of that interaction with the whole family dynamic. That's probably already happening.
Godfathers,
right?
Godmothers.
If there's people in your family,
who got
the
mailing list mixed up a bit.
When you send them a greeting card with their picture on it, maybe you need to involve them more in your
life.
It's
possible that we sent out some personal mail to our guys who cover up a small penis by driving a yellow banana car.
That's the way we're going.
Because we have that list. Because I drive an orange car.
No,
I see.
It's about you because you're an a-hole. Really, more than
that.
Wow.
Yeah. Okay.
Because
look at me and look at my kids. Well, and we're having this summer.
That's not really look at me at all as it is look at my kids. And it's clearly a mistake. Clearly.
All right. We need to take a break. But listen up, you guys. There are people listening right now who want to weigh in on the greeting card phenomenon
with
the photos of the family. And we are going to take some calls at 1-800-520-1067. Also, there is smoke coming out of line 8. And I think it's Kevin's wife on the phone. And I think we're going to be talking to her perhaps after the break as well.
Good
and
times.
find out what happened here.
Big things happened here, obviously. And they have been correct.
Not a terrorist.
I am a terrorist.
So much a terrorist.
I am a terrorist.
Not a terrorist.
She was flying one of the planes.
I don't think that's
flying one of the planes.
It's on TV.
Although she does look like said giant. That concerns me a great deal. That's MIA on K-Rock 106.7 KROQ. We're right in the middle of stirring up a big old hornet's nest right here. Ralph got a card in the mail. We all did. Of Kevin's beautiful children, a happy summer card a few days ago. Most of us looked at it and said, well, that's interesting. Ralph, however, incensed this morning. And we got some calls on the line, Ralph.
Not so much incensed as just really sort of annoyed. And it's not about Kevin and his kids. It's about the phenomenon of the picture card, which seems to have just, it's like epidemic proportions now. Everyone's sending them out. And I just find it.
Well, because it's so easy now, too.
That's true, too. That's, it's easier than ever to do. That's probably why people do it.
But you can understand the mindset, at least I can, of Ralph. You never see Kevin's family. You're kind of interested to see how the kids are growing up, you know, 10 years in, aren't you, a little bit?
Well, we don't really have that relationship. I don't know Kevin's family all that well, and I'm not really involved in
I try to
so
keep
much.
Them away from Ralph.
I'm just happy with Kevin
why.
as their father that they're still alive. Every year when I get the card, I go, thank God they're still, you know, Kevin hasn't killed them yet by accident.
I get it, and I see why parents want to show off their kids because they're proud of them. That makes perfect sense to me. But it just seems not genuine if you're making it in the form of a greeting card that's supposed to be like sending a note to someone for a holiday or something. It just seems like almost an excuse. You take advantage of that to do it. They seem like two separate things to me.
But here's the thing.
You want to show off your kids and show pictures of your kids? That's fine. That's one thing. And then a greeting card trying to wish me a happy holiday or whoever you're sending them to, it's something else.
Here's the thing, though. There's a group of people who all have kids that like this type of card because they get updated on whatever your family situation is. Ralph's not in that group of people, so it was clearly a mistake to send it to him.
Well, I don't know how updated we really got. We now know that your kids swim.
They do.
That's about it.
They sure go down slides and play in sand.
Take Lisa off of that list.
No, Lisa and I were talking about that. Do you think Kevin's kids ever play in the sand at the beach? I don't know. I wish we had some way of finding that out. Now that question's been answered, so that's good.
All right, let's take a couple of calls, Squeezy. We don't have much time, unfortunately. Leonora is in Eagle Rock. Let's start with her. She's on line one this morning on the Kevin and Bean Show. Leonora, the great greeting card with pictures debate. Go ahead.
Well, I've always agreed with Ralph. I think it's narcissistic and self-centered. And then I feel really guilty when I throw them away.
I do feel guilty throwing them away.
It is like
away.
Throwing a picture away instead of a card.
Nobody expects you to frame it.
Well, what do you expect me to do with it?
Do you have kids?
Yeah.
Yeah. I would think you would look at it and you'd go, oh, so, you know, that's an update.
So that's them.
Okay, great.
I wish my kids were that pretty.
I mean, really, that's all it is. It's not, my kids are prettier than yours.
But you're really not, you didn't do it to make sure I had a good summer.
Exactly. It's, as Ralph said, it's not genuine.
As little as I care about your kids, you care less about whether I have a good summer or not, really.
Exactly.
That's
exactly
the sense. The
I want to show you how great my kids are doing and how beautiful genetically they are.
If you really hoped I was having a great summer, you would send a little note saying, hey, just thinking of you, I'm hoping you're having a great summer.
Yeah, but I don't think that.
And then, when I send a card, I send it because I care about the human being, not because I want to get my 2 cents in.
Well, you're way better than me, Leonora.
I think what, thank
as
you for the call.
Ralph. Let's go to Alex on line five real quick. I think what Ralph is suggesting for next summer is send him instead $100 bill to blow in Vegas. That's right. How you show that Ralph
That's
has a great
I have
summer.
A good summer. You insure it that way.
Alex, good morning.
Ralph, you are such an a-hole.
Okay.
You know, Kevin's wife was probably like, oh, my kids look so cute. Let me take a picture and share it with my friends who care about me. But you are obviously not one of those people.
Yeah,
you are just a whiny a-hole that wants to get on the radio and complain about everything.
Well, I don't want to get radio. They make me do it every morning. It's my job. I have no.
It's the only way we'll pay them.
I don't have a choice there. But
I used to love you, but I cannot agree with you on this. I mean, they probably wanted to share their family and say, look, our friends would probably appreciate this.
That's
and
correct.
You are totally not one of those people now.
Yeah, why do you hate America, Ralph? Come on.
I
why do
no
you hate America,
problem
Ralph?
With people showing their kids off and showing photographs. Just don't couch it as Merry Christmas to you or I hope you're having a happy summer. It's just that's not really what it's all about, is it?
So if you took a Christmas card picture with you wearing a Santa hat and blitzed to heck,
holding my dog and saying, ooh, Merry Christmas. No, because then it's not about you having a Merry Christmas. It's about, hey, look at me and my dog.
Someone didn't love you enough when you were little, did they?
That's right. That's right, youngster. Thank you. All right. Thanks for the call. Let's talk to Jeff in San Diego on line six real quick on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hi, Jeff. Welcome to the program. What do you have for us?
Well, I agree with Kevin.
Because it seems like even if you don't get a Christmas card that has the picture on it, they'll send you one, just a regular card that either has a picture inside or maybe a form letter. Mm-hmm. And so it ends up being the same way. And also,
what do you mean?
I have no idea what you're saying right now.
I'm not sure you know who you agree with.
No, I agree with Kevin, just because it seems like all the cards have turned that way anyway. So you might.
So you don't agree with Kevin.
This is the kind of guy I don't need on my side. I got to be honest.
I've got
that side covered. The side that can't put it into words well.
No, I totally agree.
Yeah.
All right. We agree with you that you agree with someone.
We don't know who it is.
But there's a lot of agreeing going on. I'm happy to leave it there and have Jeff be the tiebreaker of the three calls.
Seriously, though, they are cuter than any other kids.
They're adorable kids.
Than any other kids.
Want to check.
Yeah.
7:54, time for the Ralph Showbiz Beat.
I'm glad you want me to have a good summer, too.
I don't really.
I know.
Yeah.
Top 10 movies at the box office this weekend. The Dark Knight celebrates $9 gajillion as it comes in number one once again, making $26 million additional dollars this weekend. It's about $31 million if you had in the IMAX theaters. It's the fourth week in a row this movie's been number one. It is.
And it's where on the top 10 movies of all time now, Ralph?
Third.
Wow.
Unbelievable.
Already.
Just behind Star Wars and Titanic.
Which are movies, as you pointed out last week, were in the theater for a year.
Months and months and
it's
months.
It's just how they were able to, and this has racked it up in 4 weeks.
Yeah. Wow. I think if you extrapolate all the information out, it probably will end up being the most successful movie ever made. So, chances are, Heath Ledger will come back for another performance.
That's great news.
So that's good news.
He was so
imagine
good.
How big it would be if we could understand anything Batman's saying.
I remember that one. I remember that one.
They going to do it in English next time?
Have you seen that parody
yes.
someone did on YouTube of the interrogation scene between the Joker and Batman?
No.
You got to check it out if you get a chance. Maybe we'll put it up on the Internet Roundup. But it is a guy who looks pretty much like Heath Ledger. He's all made up. And I think he plays the Batman role either because they keep cutting back and forth between the two. But it's Joker pretty much going... I'm sorry, I can't understand a thing you're saying. You gotta help me out. And Batman just keeps punching him in the face. Hey, communication's about words, not about fists here. Just help me out. Sound it out. I'm getting nothing here.
That's great.
Yeah, it's very funny. Pineapple Express was number two. The Mummy came in at number three. Sisterhood of the Traveling Pants, number two, is four. Step Brothers, five. Mamma Mia. Number six, Journey to the Center of the Earth is seven. Hancock was eight. Swing Vote number nine. Wall-E was number eight. The X-Files, I Want to Believe, came in at number nine. And Space Chimps, inexplicably hanging in the top 10 for about 3 weeks now.
Booyah!
Number 10. Sad weekend.
It was.
Bernie Mac passed away. Very talented comedian. Always loved his show, The Bernie Mac Show on Fox. Always thought it was very entertaining, and he was great in all the Ocean movies, 11, 12, and 13.
He should have picked a better day to die, though, because the opening ceremony of the Olympics were on. You know what I mean? Like, overshadowed.
It did pretty much get lost in the shuffle.
Yeah.
He was only 50 years old. He was suffering from an autoimmune disease called sarcoidosis, which the only reason I know about is because I watch House a lot. And that's one of the first things they jump to every freaking case on House. Maybe it's sarcoidosis. No, it doesn't match these symptoms. So then stop bringing it up. That causes inflammation in tissue, most often in the lungs. So he was having lung difficulties to begin with and then got hit with pneumonia and apparently it was complications from both of those illnesses that caused his death, which is just sad. Lisa cried.
She did.
Shed a tear.
You'll see a couple more Bernie Mac movies, though, before it's all said and done. He's got two movies that he's shot that still do out in theaters. Soul Men with Samuel L. Jackson and then Old Dogs with Robin Williams. And you hate to go out on a Robin Williams movie.
Boy, you sure do.
Boy, Santa's going to be a crying fest now. John Ritter's dead. Bernie Mac is dead.
No kidding. The Soul Men movie that you mentioned, Isaac Hayes is also in.
What?
Yes.
Dude,
how about
Samuel
that?
L. Jackson should just wrap himself in bubble wrap.
No kidding.
Just lay down. Because Isaac Hayes is also dead. The Black Moses of Soul.
That's a great nickname.
Chef on South Park. He was an actor. He was a songwriter. He was a singer. He did a lot. He was a session musician back in the 60s. Passed away at the age of 65. Was found next to his treadmill. No one worried whether he was trying to get to it. Or get off it.
Yeah.
What happened. But
our advice to you is stay away from it.
Bean always said, exercise is bad.
That's what I've been telling you guys forever, man. F exercise. Been saying it my whole life. I think we, from the archives, Ralph, were able to dig up the most famous and beloved and cherished of all Isaac Hayes songs, if you have a moment for the chocolate salty balls. Oh,
yeah. Say, everybody, have you seen my... They're big and salty and brown. If you ever need a quick pick-me-up, just stick my... in your mouth. Ooh, all my chocolate salted...
All right.
I'll stick them in your... and some...
Boy, that song was a lot better when we didn't have to beat every word.
Why are you beeping everything?
Stupid FCC.
It's about candy.
It certainly is.
He makes chocolate balls.
I thought it was about meatballs.
No, it's
I guess it would be chocolate. Candy. Yeah.
Chocolate.
Yeah.
If you're making meatballs out of chocolate, you got a lot of issues.
That is trouble.
That's
trouble.
Yeah. That's the song he hopes to be remembered by, though.
I think he will. That and Shaft. He's a bad mother.
Shut your mouth.
Just talk about Shaft.
Thank you. Thank you so much. You guys are endlessly entertained by that.
I know.
Billy Ray Cyrus.
Well, we're not going to be doing it much longer, Kevin, so you should be very happy today.
God.
Billy Ray Cyrus is putting his foot down.
Asshole.
He will not let his daughter Miley date Jesse McCartney.
Okay.
According to Star Magazine, Billy Ray thinks that Hannah Montana is too young at 15 to date 21-year-old Jesse McCartney.
You think?
He said no. But Jesse McCartney said he'd be willing to have dad come along as a chaperone. Mm-hmm. And Billy Ray says, no. No, my daughter will send scantily clad photos of herself to you like she does every other boy. You will not be dating her. So Billy finally stepping in and saying no to his multi-million dollar daughter.
Yeah.
There's no situation by which a 21-year-old boy should be dating a 15-year-old girl.
No.
I'm going to agree with
come from
dad.
That.
Yeah.
No good can come from
she
that.
She was on my lap. She was like singing on my lap.
All right. That's fine.
Ooh.
All right. Billy Ray. Oh. Billy Ray sent me a card, by the way. Said, hope you're having a happy summer.
That's
Miley's
nice.
Picture on it. I thought that was nice.
Asshole.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Chris Kelly of Criss Cross. Make you want to.
Jump.
Is 30 years old today. Joe Rogan. From Fear Factor News Radio is 41. And Hessler?
Huh?
Wrestler, actor, host of American Gladiators. Oh, American Gladiators. So good. See the finale last week? Oh, so good. I love Skyball. Hulk Hogan is 55 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show.
You guys be cool and eat fruit.
I walk the show.
Let's talk about failing for just a moment. Certainly something that those of us on this show can identify with. Guy's name is Elon Musk. At one time, very, very successful, very much admired. He's the guy who created PayPal, ended up selling it to eBay for $1.5 billion.
Wow.
Okay? God.
Now, if I'm Elon Musk, I'm done. That's it. You'll never hear from me again. But he said, hey, I still want to be productive. I still want to contribute. So he came up with a company called SpaceX, and it's actually a pretty good idea. He figured out maybe it's time for private industry to get into the business of sending rockets into space to, you know, put satellites up in space and stuff like that.
And you're
that.
Saying that's a good idea.
I'm saying that on paper, that's a great idea. In reality, it has not been super successful for him because last weekend, he had his third failure in a row as yet another craft failed to leave Earth's orbit and blew up.
Yeah, and this is the one where he was telling people, hey, you could get your ashes put into space. So he had 208 people's ashes on board this rocket. And one of them was James Doohan, who played Scotty.
Oh, yeah.
On Star Trek, they were going to send his ashes into space. See, because he was in space on that TV show?
Right, right.
Imagine, though, I mean, you're disappointed enough, you're embarrassed enough to have another rocket blow up and not leave orbit. But then you've got hundreds of people who have paid you to send their beloved's ashes into space. Now you just feel like a tool.
Yeah, I would think so, because then they would call and go, hey, what happened with the rocket? And you go, well, they say there was an anomaly on it. Okay, great. What does that mean? Explosion.
Well, I'll tell you who's not happy about this is actor James Doohan, who is finally looking forward to making it into space. And we asked producer Alex to line up the hotline to heaven. I think we've got it in operation here this morning so we can talk to old Scotty from the Star Trek TV series. Good morning, Scotty.
Captain, the engines cannot take it.
No, they can't. Apparently, that's what happened. That's what went wrong.
I tried to tell them to go to impulse power.
Yeah, you did.
But no, they went full warp drive.
Many times.
And now set phasers for death.
Well, the good news, if there is any, Scotty, is that you were already dead before they put your ashes onto the rocket ship. So it's not like you died again.
Aye, that did take a wee bit of the sting out of it.
But you wanted your ashes in space. How'd that work out?
Aye. back, not well at all.
Not well at all.
Not, I'm just a big cloud of gray mist.
Aww.
Mixed with 208 other people, by the way.
I know, and I've got bits and pieces of people stuck in me teeth and things.
Yeah.
Oh. Wow.
What's that noise?
That's a phaser.
Who are you shooting?
Jesus.
Okay. Why do you need a phaser in heaven? I thought that was just a peaceful place where you hang out on clouds.
It's set for stun.
All right.
Don't be too concerned. I just stunned Jesus.
All right.
He's not dead.
He doesn't have a force field?
Ooh, force field. That'd be around cool. Him? Jesus, try a force field.
What the hell is going on here?
We're just playing war games.
I see.
Waiting for Shatner.
Now, they didn't shoot all of your ashes into space, I hope, because...
Yeah.
If they did, it's
that
all...
That was all of it.
All of it, yeah. Aww.
There's nothing left, Captain. Yeah. I've given all I can give. I cannot give no more.
Yeah.
Red alert!
Now, Scotty, are you the only one of the crew of the Starship Enterprise that's in heaven, or you're the first one to go, right?
No, McCoy's up here, too.
Oh, you got DeForest Kelly's up there as well, okay.
Yeah, he's busy banging whores.
Is that right?
Yeah, there's lots of whores in heaven.
I wouldn't have expected that. I thought they would maybe go to the other place.
Well, some of them have hearts of gold.
Oh, I see.
All right. The whores with hearts of gold end up here.
I see. Okay.
Spreading their legs.
Oh, wow.
Like whores.
What was that?
Leonard! Leonard, you're coming soon!
Oh, that's sad. What don't was say that?
I'm going to beam you up, Spock.
No, you don't want to do that.
What was that?
any kind of reception party going on there for Isaac Hayes maybe or Bernie Mac this weekend, Scotty?
No, don't care for the blacks myself.
Oh, what? What? What are you talking about?
But it's the truth.
All right, we gotta go.
We only had one on the Enterprise.
Yeah.
That was that fine ass Uhura.
Yeah, she was hot, right?
I'd like to give her my dilithium crystals. I'd like to give her the Jeffries tube.
I don't even want to know what that is.
My photon torpedoes.
All right.
We gotta go.
All right, then go, then. No,
you,
seriously,
Scotty.
Go.
All right, I'm going.
I'll see you up here soon enough.
I hope not, but thank you.
Set phasers for death.
I think the opening ceremonies are still going on, by the way. But they're getting close. They're getting close to the Parade of Nations. They're almost near the end now.
Oh, dear God, I can't take anymore. I just...
As we reach just about the halfway point of the Parade of Nations, Libya has marched into the stadium.
Halfway!
Followed by Liberia, a nation founded by freed American slaves. Then the Central American nation of Belize, followed by Cape Verde. And Saudi Arabia making its ninth Summer Games appearance. And for the ninth time, its team is made up only of men. This is a nation where women are not allowed to drive and have to obtain the permission of a male guardian in order to travel or to work.
Good time.
Nice.
Male guardian.
By the way, when he said that, I was shocked all over again.
I thought Saudi Arabia is a little more forward than that.
Not with women. Unfortunately, they are not. And then you go, well, how's Saudi Arabia doing in the Olympics?
Good time for the U.S.
Well, thank God there's at least one country that keeps women in their place.
Oh,
all right, it's 8:20 on the Kevin and Bean Show. If you haven't yet been to the Internet Roundup on the Kevin and Bean section of Kara.com, you don't know what you're missing. By the way, new episodes of Retired Policeman are up there that are worth checking out. You know, Retired Policeman has the Asperger's now. You know that, right?
No.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Awesome.
Different kind of Asperger's than we're familiar with. He literally has burgers coming out of his ass. So you definitely want to check that out. But the thing we want to talk about here is an old tape of Larry King's radio show. Back before he sucked on CNN, he sucked on the radio. He used to do an overnight call-in radio show. And if you haven't heard this tape yet, it's a few years old now, but it is recently resurfaced. It is great. And I thought we'd take some time here, Kevin, and go through it and see if we can figure out what the miscommunication problem is between Larry and his caller, a young man looking for advice on how to make it in journalism.
I'm a student of print journalism, and I just wanted to know what advice do you have for young people coming up into the field? For instance, experience, is that important?
Uh-huh. Sure.
Is that probably the most important element?
Well, it's way up there.
By the way, he wasn't paying attention at that point.
Mm-mm.
Larry was someplace else.
Uh-huh. Sure.
Yeah,
by the way... I can't vouch for the young man's question either. Is experience important?
he's clearly a douche.
He's trying to figure out how to break into journalism. That's
print journalism.
Right. And Larry, for some reason, I think we're about to hear, misunderstands the question and thinks the guy's interested in getting into medicine or something.
Anything else?
Pressure under fire. Mm-hmm. Done this before. I don't want it to be his first surgery.
I don't want it to be his first surgery.
I don't think he thinks that he's going to be a doctor. I think he means you need some experience.
He's comparing it to any other kind of job where it's better to have experience.
Oh, you think? Okay.
I think
so. At that point,
I think that's
so.
What he's saying. But then the caller thinks he's now giving him advice on how to be a doctor.
Right.
Okay.
Applied himself well. These are things I'd have confidence in a young MD.
Okay. I'm talking about journalism field.
Now, Larry, who's clearly drunk at this point, now is very confused.
I'm lost. What do you mean?
The journalism. Like, I'm a student of journalism at a college, and I was just wondering the most important aspect of getting into journalism, not the medical field.
Okay.
I think you're exhausted.
I think you're exhausted.
Well, maybe he should be a doctor since he's diagnosing him.
Yeah, he is exhausted. Kidding. He's either exhausted or drunk.
Or
he has
both.
To be one of the
or
other.
Both.
When Larry said, that's what I look for in a young MD, that's what made me think that he really does believe he's asking about the medical field. But now
maybe.
The caller is pointing out that Larry apparently is working too hard, I guess.
From 30 nights.
I am exhausted from 30 nights. No person, even those of us who are superhuman, those of us with Herculean appetites for the diverse and the bizarre, even those of us who have shown an aptitude to...
You know where he's going with this, just get to it.
To fight the good fight and stay the good long battle. Even those of us can get tired. And your boy is tired after 30 consecutive nights.
Your boy is tired. Is that what he said?
He's like 80. What he's doing on that show? He's
your
fighting
boy.
The good fight?
He's fighting the good fight.
Really?
That's what Larry King does.
Right.
Yeah, it's like
God
4 a.m. He's been working 30 nights in a row. He's punchy. He's had maybe a couple too many glasses of wine.
I have a half hour to go, and I'm going to do that half hour because I'm a pro. That's what pros do. I'm a professional. Look it up in the book.
Okay.
That's what we do with pros.
I like the dude on the other end. Okay.
Now, doesn't it sound like Larry's done with the caller at this point?
Of course.
Like, I know
be?
You asked a question and I didn't have an answer for you, but now I'm monologuing, so clearly you're gone. But for some reason, the dude's still on the phone, and that makes it even funnier for me.
We're never rude. We don't cop out. We don't tell you that we're ill or that we're looking for the farmhouse in the middle of the desert.
Okay.
What?
I don't know what that means.
All right, let's stop for a moment and think.
Is that a reference to
looking for a farmhouse?
We don't cop out. We don't say we're sick.
Desert.
We don't say we're looking for a farmhouse in the middle of the desert. I don't even know what that means.
I don't know.
So now, we don't know what year this tape was. If there was some news story that he was making a reference to, maybe something had been going on where
the
FBI
was looking for a farmhouse.
The FBI had tracked a guy down to a farmhouse or something like that. I don't know what his reference was to, but... Years after the fact, it sure doesn't make any sense.
We don't tell you that we're ill or that we're looking for the farmhouse in the middle of the desert or that we're parched. We don't tell you that maybe the check didn't come through this month and where the hell does it go anyway?
Did he say we're parked?
Parched.
Oh, parched.
Parched.
Thirsty.
Right.
He's clearly not parched.
No.
If you're a guy who's left 16 forwarding addresses.
Huh?
Okay.
So what do you do? What is the answer? Yeah, you're a little perturbed now.
Now, Larry, in his drunken state, can tell that the guy's going, okay.
What is the 16 forwarding addresses for? Is he talking about
his divorces? I guess he's had a lot of
divorces.
I don't
know. Oh, that's what it is. Because I have to move
really
it.
Catching up.
Every time the woman leaves me, I have to move.
Yep.
Kind of worried about the club.
What?
The club.
Don't worry about the club. Worry about maybe Jackie might worry. Nah, don't worry.
What?
Okay, just cool it. Life is a breeze.
Okay, Larry says cool it.
Of course, some breezes, as you know, are 110 miles an hour and get promoted up the hurricanes. I just thought I'd pass that along. Speaking of pass it along, we're going to pass along now to the newsroom, the mutual newsroom, high atop the overlooking downtown, beautiful downtown studios of Washington, Virginia, Washington, D.C.
What happened to him?
That sounds like Dean Martin at his drunkest. What is that? What? You know how he does it?
What happened to him?
Play the end again. I love
what's
that.
What's the
high
club?
Atop the overlooking downtown, beautiful downtown studios of Washington, Virginia, Washington, D.C.
What's the club? What's the farmhouse? What's the forwarding addresses? What's
does the hurricane
the
blow the farmhouse down?
What's the parched? I have more questions than answers hearing this tape. I'm sorry. I'm confused.
I have one good answer. Drunk!
Speaking of pass it along, we're going to pass along now to the newsroom, the mutual newsroom, high atop the overlooking downtown, beautiful downtown studios of Washington, Virginia, Washington, D.C.
This is a mess.
Bean, I was watching some of the Olympics over the weekend.
Yes.
USA versus Japan, women's soccer.
Okay.
You ready?
Okay.
Yeah.
Best color analyst ever.
Inside, swept away by Rampone.
I think that's going to have to be a little bit more sharp than that. They're tricky, the Japanese. They slide into spaces when you least expect it.
You think?
Oh, really? Interesting.
Really? Is that what you meant to say?
You mean like on a Sunday morning in Pearl Harbor? Is that what you're talking about, announcer lady?
Do you think that entered her head and she said, what am I saying? What am I saying?
Oh, my God.
They're tricky, the Japanese. They slide into spaces when you least expect it.
Oh, that is the best. That's right up there with look at that little monkey run.
Come on. She had to go, oh, I don't think that came out right.
That's not what I meant at all.
They're tricky, the Japanese. They slide into spaces when you least expect it.
That's the best. Do
you remember Bill Parcells said, sometimes we run Jap plays, you know, sneaky surprise plays.
That's right. But that was intended. She was clearly talking about this soccer team and
right.
their abilities and their ability to surprise people. But I'm sure I was the only one that thought that when I heard it. But I knew Bean would.
Word to the wise. Remember Pearl Harbor.
I knew Bean would appreciate that. If anyone else on this planet would.
They're tricky, the Japanese. They slide into spaces when you least expect it.
Yeah.
I love it. I'm really surprised. I did not. I was not watching that sport. I am really surprised there was not. You know, these days, you can't say anything no matter how innocent without having somebody file a complaint.
Yeah.
I'm actually surprised hearing that from you for the first time that there isn't some Asian activist group out there that's demanding that she be fired for those remarks. I really am.
I don't know that there isn't, because we've learned from history that there probably is somewhere, always, somebody complaining, always.
Right.
But she clearly didn't mean it.
No, of course not. But that's great. All right, it's 8:40 Monday morning on the Kevin and Bean Show. TMZ Television, of course, weeknights at 6:30 on Channel 11 and TMZ.com 24/7 on the internet. And our friend Harvey Levin, managing editor, joins us on the show right now. Hey, Harv, how was your weekend, dude?
It was good. Morning, guys. Morning, Lisa.
Good morning, Harvey.
Great to talk to you. We were have been remarking all morning, as I'm sure you did in your morning meeting as well, how sad it was to lose two great entertainers over the weekend. That really casts a pall over the kind of work you do when you got to report obits like that.
Yeah, I mean, it was really weird. We actually, it's funny, we got a, not funny, but we got a tip, several tips about Bernie Mac when we came in on Friday morning that he was on his deathbed. What's interesting is the publicist just flat out lied.
Oh, I know.
Why?
It's interesting. I mean, we just lied for some reason.
Maybe to keep attention away from the situation or something like this, but our favorite example is when Kurt Cobain died. He had already passed away, and we heard rumors that he had passed away. So we called his publicist, and his publicist was like, perfectly fine, never healthier. Very happy, very healthy, very strong.
Some of them just don't get it. Clearly this one doesn't get it. But it's like when he dies, all you do is you look like a liar.
Yeah.
So, I mean, she didn't gain anything by it, but he was clearly on his deathbed. I mean, literally died hours after she came out with a statement. But it really is just kind of an interesting way that old Hollywood works.
Yeah.
I mean, there's no point in it. But nonetheless, it is really, really sad. And then, the Isaac Hayes thing was just, it was, you know, what a weekend.
Yeah.
Yeah, very, very sad. Now, there are a couple of other stories we need to talk to you about, Harvey, one of which that you're right in the forefront of, as always, and that's the drama in the Panettiere family. Of course, Hayden Panettiere, one of our favorite actresses from the TV show Heroes. What's going on with her parents this morning?
Well, it's an interesting story. We got a tip this morning and put it up on the website that her dad, Hayden Panettiere's dad, Alan, was busted for alleged felony domestic abuse at 3 o'clock this morning. They have a house in West Hollywood, and according to our people in law enforcement, what supposedly happened or allegedly happened was they got back from a party, and they were at Eva Longoria's party at Besso Restaurant, which she owns. It was a Save the Whale thing. The father, the mother, and Hayden were there, and at least this is according to the reports that we got, and these are accurate because it's law enforcement. Apparently, she was talking to some guy, and Hayden's dad, Alan, felt that the mother, Linda, had disrespected him. and came home and then allegedly struck her in the cheek. And Leslie is the mother. Struck her in the cheek, apparently left marks. There were pictures, and he was hauled off. And apparently Leslie is the one who pressed this thing, and he's right now at the West Hollywood Police Department.
Mm. Wow.
Sheriff's Department, yeah.
What do you interpret disrespected her husband to mean? That she was standing too close to the guy, making out with him? What?
She was talking to some guy, and I mean, when you read between the lines, it's pretty clear it was that he felt it was some kind of flirting or something that was untoward between her and the guy. You know, have you seen her?
Mm-mm. No.
She looks like an older version of Hayden Panettiere.
She's a great-looking woman.
Yeah.
And we actually have video of her. If you go to the website, you'll see her coming out of the car to the event.
Mm-hmm.
And she looks great.
Right.
And you see her with Hayden. I mean, this was all in all a really bad night for them because Hayden and Milo were leaving the party, and Milo ran over a paparazzi's foot and literally stopped on his foot and didn't get off initially.
On accident?
And then she got her Porsche banged up over the weekend, too, so it was kind of a brutal weekend for the Panettieres.
Wow.
I don't ever feel bad for those photographers, including yours, that get run over by celebrities trying to leave. I just don't. They're asking for it.
I was not asking for sympathy.
Oh.
I don't know what I would do.
And if it helps you, I think I broke my toe yesterday because I tripped over something.
Excellent.
So you'd probably be happy about
it. You had that coming, Harvey.
No, I don't want to see bad things happen to you, Harvey. No. I'm just talking about the eight-hole photographers that stand in front of the cars. This is Harvey Levin from TMZ.com, of course, that we're talking to. The story that I was fascinated with, and it got buried a little bit because of the timing of Friday night's Nightline interview opposite the Olympic opening, is John Edwards, who, of course, is the senator from South Carolina who ran for president as recently as this year, finally coming out and admitting on Nightline that he had a long-term affair with this woman. The National Enquirer told us all this, but mainstream media, as they call it, was very, very slow to pick up on this story.
That's right.
What went wrong, in your opinion, Harvey? Why was there are some people who suggest that maybe the LA Times, for instance, wasn't pursuing this because they've got a liberal lean and they didn't want to bring down a Democrat.
Yeah, I'm going to be a little self-critical on this one, too. This is a weird story because the night... There was a big thing that NBC was having at the Beverly Hilton Hotel about 2 weeks ago. I got a call from somebody at like 2 a.m, and they said, you got to get somebody over to the Beverly Hilton right now. John Edwards is holed up in a bathroom, and he's visiting this woman, and they were saying, you know, you got to get over here because something's going on. So I got up, and I started calling the Beverly Hilton, and I talked to somebody in security there. And he said, well, you know, it's interesting. About 5 minutes ago, some guy ran out of the hotel, and it caused a big disturbance, and people were calling, complaining of the noise. And I thought, wow, this is kind of tracking. And then that guy wouldn't take my call for the rest of the night.
Mm.
But it was an interesting story, and then I sent somebody over, and ultimately the people at the Beverly Hilton were saying, not true, didn't happen. Then the Enquirer came out with a story that completely tracked with what we had been hearing. So I just kind of sat back and thought, okay, well, at this point they own the story. It'll be interesting to see who follows it. And I thought, wow, this is a big story, and it was just like nobody. It was the weirdest thing.
Why do you think that is? It's a guy who ran for president.
A guy who ran for president. Not just a guy who ran for president, but a guy who apparently was being considered for the vice presidential spot, who had said that day, the day that he was at the Beverly Hilton, that he would seriously consider taking a vice presidential spot.
And a lot of people thought even if he wasn't selected by Barack Obama to be the vice president, he was in definite consideration for attorney general.
I mean, he's a big – John Edwards is a big player
now, what
happened, in national politics.
Now, what happened, what I saw, was that there was a National Enquirer reporter there, and he came out of the room,
right.
and the guy surprised him, and he literally, John Edwards, like I would do,
ran down to the basement, which was the tip that we got from somebody who had nothing to do with, obviously, the National Enquirer, but it all tracked with – I mean, it's funny because I didn't know about the National Enquirer at the time, and I had just gotten this tip, and then when I called security, I thought, boy, there's something to this story. And then all of a sudden, the Enquirer ran it.
Right.
But then, of course, Then he lies when the few people did ask him, hey, what about this report that you were at the Hilton visiting this woman who's your alleged mistress? And basically, John did the same thing that the rest of the press seemed to do, which is, well, that's only the National Enquirer. You can't believe them. But in this case, they turned out, as they so often are, to be right and to be leading on this story. That's what's surprising about it. This isn't the New York Times uncovering this. This is the Enquirer and everybody else is following.
No, they did. I mean, hats off to them. Ultimately, they told and they really did tell an accurate story.
Those of you that don't watch TV, he then came out and admitted it, finally.
Yeah, that's right.
On Friday night. Yeah, exactly. Well, so he's done. And there's nobody in the world who doesn't believe that baby is his, by the way, that one that he was visiting with the mother.
We put the poll up. Most people here, most people on TMZ don't believe it, that it's not his either.
Yeah,
exactly.
But there is someone else in his camp that says it is his baby. And yeah, that guy's married, too.
But it's in his camp. I mean, don't you think John Edwards said...
It's a guy that he pays, though, Lisa.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Dude, I need a fall guy. You got to say it's your baby. What? Right. I'm married. What?
No, I mean, it is just a crazy story.
And Beyonce is white now. I didn't realize that till I read.
Did you see that?
Till I read TMZ.com.
Yes.
She's white in the L'Oreal ad.
What the
ad.
Hell?
She's white.
So here's the deal. So somebody on our staff, Nina, pitched a story in the morning meeting last week and said, you know, she said, and she's African-American, and she said, I'm really offended by this because she said, you know, it's like, I want to be represented by Beyonce, and here she puts, they do this ad, and not only does she look white, but this is a commercial for L'Oreal, which is hair product, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
She's wearing a wig? I mean, what's wrong with that picture? I mean, what's wrong with that picture? So we do this story, and we're basically saying they whitened her up.
Yeah.
And so L'Oreal comes out and says, we never touched up the picture, and it causes this kind of firestorm, and ultimately, I mean, L'Oreal missed the point. Who cares whether they touched it up or not? The fact is, they chose a picture that made her look white.
Yeah.
Yes, and you did a great job on the site in putting side-by-side photos of what Beyonce normally looks like and what she looks like in this ad, and they're barely related.
It doesn't look like her, and then, so we put a poll up and asking if L'Oreal did the wrong thing. It's interesting because the large majority of people sided with L'Oreal on this thing, which was interesting.
Really?
Yeah, they did. And then we put a... we did a side-by-side comparison of the... this was really interesting over the weekend. We got all the L'Oreal ads with Beyonce, and we put them side-by-side. And what happens is when she was with Destiny's Child, and not exactly as mainstream as she is today,
right.
She looked ethnic. And as you see the progression, as she got more mainstream, she looks less and less and less ethnic. So you can literally track it with the ads, and you see the whitening of Beyonce.
Mm. It's a shame, too, because
really
she's hot perfect. No matter what color she is.
Yeah. She's perfect, yeah. Look, if she ends up...
But you guys missed the point again.
No. I'm saying she's just as hot black. Why would you change it?
You don't have to defend it.
I don't get it. I'm just saying, Harvey.
If she ends up in a wheelchair with a surgical mask on in about 10 years in Vegas, like Michael Jackson did, I'm going to be so pissed what you people did to my Beyonce.
All I can say is, remember how hot Liz Taylor used to be?
No. No. Thank you, Harvey. TMZ.com, our favorite website, and TMZ TV. Thank you, Harvey.
Bye
now. Time for the Ralph Showbiz Beat.
I've got tickets. Get them while they're hot. Tickets to a very special K-Rock screening of The Rocker, the new hilarious comedy starring Rainn Wilson. It's in theaters Wednesday, August 20th. You get to see it before anybody else at the special K-Rock screening. If you'd like to go... I got a little Rainn Wilson trivia for you. If you're one of the first two correct answers at 1-800-520-1067, you will win yourself a pair of tickets.
Dwight Schrute on The Office.
Yes. Sorry, that's the answer. I guess we have to cancel
this. Oh, sorry.
Cancel the game. No,
apologize.
Kevin guessed it. No, here's your trivia question. After many years of working in TV and film, Rainn Wilson finally got his big breakthrough television role on a critically acclaimed... cable series. Name the series and name his character on that series where he first started to get a lot of attention on this very popular cable TV series.
Whoops.
That's right. He played the survivor of the nuclear apocalypse who lived in a farmhouse. No, call now. 1-800-520-1067. First two people through with the correct answer win a pair of tickets to the special K-Rock screening of The Rocker, which looks very, very funny, by the way.
Well, The Rocker could be your life story, Ralph. I can't help but think about you when I see the plot to this movie.
Former rock star drummer who loses his job with the world's most popular band.
Sure.
And then eventually has to come to the aid of his young nephew and teach him how to rock.
I want to rock! Rock!
Thank you. Let's take a look at the movies in the top 10 from the box office this weekend, shall we? The Dark Knight continues its quest to be the biggest money-making motion picture of all time. Fourth week in a row, it came in at number one. Just a hair over $31 million for The Dark Knight. So far, it has made over $441 million at the box office.
Wow.
Jackpot.
Enough to make it the third best domestic grossing film of all time behind Star Wars and Titanic.
Wow.
Pineapple Express came in at number two.
Anyone see that?
Mm-mm. I have not had a chance to see Pineapple Express yet.
Didn't have time.
I saw it Saturday.
Wanted to.
Oh.
Bean, the most least likely
really?
Of all of us.
I know.
Has anyone?
Know.
Have you seen it, Bean?
I hated it.
I saw it Saturday.
It wasn't for me.
It was fun, and I don't like
I didn't
that.
Care for the pot humor and the wacky goings on.
Why did I even bring it up?
Well, you didn't like it. Let's be honest.
It's not, it wasn't.
Like it's not for
it wasn't
you.
For me. It wasn't for me.
It's not
I
for
will,
you.
But I will tell
told you that a mile away. Don't go see it, Beanie. You will not enjoy it because it's filled with fun.
It's not that I didn't enjoy it. It's fine, and I really like James Franco, and I really like Seth Rogen especially. And but I will tell you this: the audience was rolling. I mean, they laughed nonstop
right.
from minute one.
Yeah, that's Beanie's whole
know.
Experience in life.
I don't know
is.
What they were laughing at, but they really loved it.
Watching
so,
people with emotion.
What?
I wonder what it's like to laugh.
Which one of these things is not like the other? If you're looking around, everyone in the theater is just having the time of their lives.
I couldn't figure it out. I really, couldn't
well,
get
it's
it.
You.
Yeah, it's you.
It may be me.
Yeah.
It may
no,
be
not,
me.
Not maybe. It's you.
I do enjoy Seth Rogen very much, though. He's a very entertaining guy. And you guys will love it. I think the reason I bring it up is to tell you that you guys should go see it, because I really do think you'll love it.
We know that. We
yes.
know that we will love
and
it.
And we knew that you wouldn't. I can't imagine why you would choose that film.
I don't like things that are fun.
You have to get on the ferry. You have to get off the island. Why make that your destination film? You'd be so much better off going to see Mamma Mia or Sisterhood of the Traveling Pants
oh!
or Space Chimps or something that's more up your alley.
Space Chimps. He does love the space program.
Oh, loves astronauts.
Yeah.
Loves monkeys.
I love chimps, does. Too. Yeah. I was going to go see that until you told me it was animated. Now I'm out. I can't go see it. So
The Mummy anyway. Came in at number three, then Sisterhood of the Traveling Pants, duh. Number four, Step Brothers 5, Mamma Mia, Journey to the Center of the Earth, Hancock, Swing Boat, Wall-E, The X-Files, I Want to Believe, and Space Chimps, rounding out your top 10 at the box office this
week. We have a winner, believe it or not.
Excellent. Who are we talking to?
We are talking to Chris in Gardenia.
Chris?
Yes, good morning.
After years of slaving away in film and television, Rainn Wilson finally got his breakthrough role on what series?
6 Feet Under.
That's right. He played the love interest
right.
to the much older Frances Conroy. He played the mom at the mortuary there.
Totally forgot about that.
What was the character's name, Chris?
Arthur
is correct. Congratulations. You're going to the special K-Rock advanced screening of The Rocker.
Thank
well
you
done.
So much.
Also, congratulations to Robin from Santa Monica.
Santa Monica!
Hold on. We'll give you all the details. Speaking of movies, people are upset at a new
what
movie
now?
That's coming out.
Ah, now what?
Apparently, in the movie Tropic Thunder, Ben
mm-hmm.
Stiller.
Coming out Wednesday.
Coming out Wednesday. Ben Stiller plays an actor who appears in a film called Simple Jack.
Okay.
It's his bid to try to get an Oscar nomination.
Right.
So he plays a mentally handicapped young man.
And like Sean Penn did, and like so many others have in the past, to win an Oscar. Right.
Dustin Hoffman won an Oscar for Rain Man, and so
right.
on and so on and so on. Apparently, throughout the film, they refer to the character as a retard.
Hey, don't judge my disability.
Yeah.
Let's go with window licker.
Apparently, the spokesman for the Special Olympics, which is just one of 22 groups nationwide who are protesting the film, are calling for a national boycott of Tropic Thunder.
If this is a comedy, aren't they kind of making fun of real people who really do that to try and get an Oscar?
Yes.
Am I missing that?
Yes, that's exactly what it's about. It's not so much an attack on the mentally disabled as it is an attack on this particular actor and the character that he chose.
Come on, I'm just trying to do my job.
This will be the start of a nationwide protest. We will continue to be vocal about the destructive effect of this film. Listen, folks. This is an R-rated comedy, by the way. This is for adults to go see. I think at some point you have to assume that adults especially have to know the difference between using the word retard in a comic derogatory sense about someone who is not mentally disabled versus ever saying that to an actual person or about an actual person who has a disability.
Can I have a hug?
You have to assume that decision has been made at some point.
Yeah.
Sure.
And stop it.
You don't have to, dude.
Just stop it.
I know.
When did we become so thin-skinned as a people across the board? When did this all
happen? I'm sad.
When did we stop being able to realize the difference between actual trouble and imaginary trouble?
Do you want fries with that?
That's the retarded policeman right there.
Yeah, he's funny.
Exactly.
That fellow is actually retarded.
Yeah.
Thanks, dumbass!
And has no problem with it. Talks about it, is happy with his life, is not offended by the term because he recognizes that some people can say it with malice and some people do not.
That's true! That's a good observation.
Kevin's not bothered by it either. Though I'm a retard, he doesn't even mind.
That's correct.
Amazing.
Hey, wait, what?
He's got a good...
Well, it's kind of a step up for Kevin, too. Let's remember that. He's coming from a different place.
It's great. And I know I'm going to get angry emails from the parents of children with Down syndrome and people with learning disabilities in their lives, and I understand that you're going to be angry that I'm saying it's not a big deal, but I just don't think every time there's the least bit of a controversy regarding a special interest group that it's necessarily, you know, the root of all evil.
I hope the people that do have Down syndrome kids in their family will take pictures of them and mail them to you.
Oh,
though, I do hope that you get a happy summer card with those pictures.
I think you're missing the point, B.
Hi.
Misha Barton wants to be a singer.
Puke death.
Yes.
Puke death, Mike? That's your mark?
You want her to puke death or just two separate things?
She makes me puke. She should be put to death.
Okay.
Why does Misha Barton make you puke?
Oh, God.
She's really skinny.
Yeah, why Spencer? Yeah. What's your problem with her?
Yeah,
because Mike loves skinny
more than anybody.
It's not just skinny.
I don't really love skinny. It's the fact that she's skinny and yet still has cellulite and A cups that touch her belly button. She's a she is an amalgam of puke. She is a conglomerate, a veritable cornucopia of disgustingness.
Wow. It seems a little out of disproportionate, I think.
Maybe a bit.
I think she's a better than average looking young woman, to tell you the truth.
Apparently not Psycho Mike.
Hey, so that's a pretty reasonable reaction, huh?
So she's got a new boyfriend, a musician named Taylor Locke.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know how he got off the island, man, but him and Jack.
No, they got a
different
rain
or
different Locke.
Seems
different
strange
Locke
to me.
What you did there.
And he thinks that her voice is spectacular, and they're currently in the studio recording tracks together.
That guy. What would you need him for?
It's true.
So we got the new Misha album CD. Look forward to somewhere down the pike.
That's bullshit.
Looking forward to it. And we got to talk about this guy. And we got to play the video. We got to direct people to the video. Familiar with Shepard Smith on the Fox News channel?
Sort of. Yeah, he's one of those real smooth.
He's a smarmy sort
like
of
a robot.
Yeah,
he's kind
of a mannequin-looking robot.
That's fake delivery, right?
Fake delivery, very, very in-your-face sort of a throwback to the old-school news announcers.
He's kind of the guy that Stephen Colbert is making fun of on the Colbert Report.
Right, exactly. He is famous for doing a major faux pas back in 2002 on the Fox News Channel when he was doing a story about Jennifer Lopez.
Mm-hmm.
And he was talking about Jenny on the Block.
Yeah.
Yeah,
and he was trying to tie in some sort of reference to a block and a street and a curb and that thing. And he said they're more likely to give her a curb job. You know what a curb job is?
No.
It's like when somebody puts somebody's mouth on a curb and then you kick them in the back of the head.
Yes.
Oh, dear God.
More likely to give her a curb job than a block party. And unfortunately, when he got to the block party part, he came up with a different kind of job. A curb job different job.
Yeah!
A BJ.
And that video made ripples around the world on the internet. Well, he's done it again.
Oh, no.
He was talking to another correspondent by the name of Hunt.
Come on. Did you write this?
Nope. And put a C in front of the gentleman's name.
Awesome.
And came
clear
out.
As a bell. Not a slur, man. It couldn't be more emphasized.
That was something that he didn't intend. And that's currently on the internet, and everybody's talking about it. So if you get a chance, go on YouTube. I guess if you just type in Shepard Smith, they'll pop up for you. But maybe we'll do it. We do the internet roundup sometime this week. We'll point you in the right direction. But
it's great.
Does it get any better? Does it get any sweeter than that?
No, it does not. I laughed and laughed and laughed. Today's celebrity birthday is Hulk Hogan.
Yeah.
He's a wrestler. He was an actor. He's the host of American Next Gladiator.
That's the name of it. But
he is 55 years old today.
All right, you guys be cool and eat fruit.
We will, Hulkster. Joe Rogan, Fear Factor, News Radio, the MMA. He is 41 years old today. And Chris Kelly of Criss Cross, make you want to
jump, jump.
He is 30 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
We're sorry. You must first dial 0 or 1.
What it do, nephew?
What it do, nephew?
1-800-520-1067 is the toll-free number here at K-Rock, and I'm very happy to announce that this is one of those Mondays that you're going to be glad you called, because check out this prize. A pair of tickets to K-Rock's End of Summer Show at Six Flags Magic Mountain. That's this Saturday the 16th with Katy Perry and the Airborne Toxic event. How about that?
That's pretty cool.
That's a pretty strong 1-2 punch right there. That's what you get for joining us on Kevin and Bean's What It Do, Nephew.
She's so hot, too.
She is, yes.
Katy Perry.
She is.
I kissed a girl.
Yeah.
Adam in Corona, good morning.
Hey, good morning, guys. What it do?
What it do,
baby boo?
Hi, Adam.
Hey, how's it going, guys? So I was watching the Olympics, you know, the opening ceremony. Mm-hmm. And as U.S. Team USA is coming out walking on the stage, I think Laura Bush actually had to nudge President Bush and say, hey, we're on right now.
Applaud.
Those are our people.
George, this is our team. George.
I'm sure he fell asleep.
You recognize the flag?
I did find it funny when they cut to George Bush and he was checking his watch. And I also found it funny that they were sitting like in, I don't know, like way up in the nosebleeds or something.
Putin's trying to get his attention. Hey, George, we're in the war. We're going to what? Just leave me alone. I'm watching the Olympics. Just so he didn't want to be bothered with him.
Yeah.
Although he did seem to be making the rounds through the U.S. Olympic Vision Village, you did see pictures of the president with 20 different athletes over the weekend, and he was really working it.
He was. He was playing volleyball with some of the women volleyball players.
Softball, some on the softball field, too.
I think
with the swimmers. He met Michael Phelps.
I think Ralph's right. He's just trying desperately to avoid coming home, I think. He's just
a lot of headaches back here.
Let's go someplace else. Sure. What else is going on this weekend? Let's go to Matt in Diamond Bar. Good morning, Matt. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. What it do?
What it do, nephew and baby boo?
What it do, Matt?
What's going on?
First of all, guys, during that opening ceremony, which goddamn I wish I was high for, it turns out 30% of those shots were actually computer generated.
Yeah! Come on. How about that?
Of the fireworks. You mean of the fireworks?
Yeah, the fireworks, all the wide shots of the city. You're like, how can that whole city be erupting in fireworks? Because it wasn't.
That's bogus.
Yeah, and then the thing where the steps where the fireworks were going off and it looked like somebody was walking toward the stadium, I thought, how are they doing this? That's really amazing.
Because that's safe to fly a helicopter through.
This was really interesting. It really was one of the most dramatic effects. And I guess they were, you were paying closer attention than I was, Kevin. It was some sort of deal where they were making the footsteps go from some place in ancient China to where the new stadium was. So they wanted to make it look like 29 steps walking to, and the first 28 of them turned out to have been on tape. They had already computer generated it in a studio, and then they just did the last one live to make it match.
So they didn't
answer for this.
They didn't even videotape it ahead of time. Really happening?
Computer generated. Didn't happen.
Odd.
Bogus.
That's BS.
The Beijing Olympics are brought to you by Industrial Light and Magic.
Yeah, you're right about that. Good call, Matt. Thank you.
Let's go to a big TV show now. That's all it is.
Fake.
Let's go to Chris on line 3. He also has an Olympic comment. Chris is on the air from Huntington Beach this morning. Hey, Chris, what it do?
Hey, what it do, nephew?
What's going on?
Baby boo.
Hi, Chris.
So I was watching the coverage yesterday, and I don't know. I was just really confused. And what is with this coverage? They don't have any editors or something. They were doing the preview for the women's gymnastics last night, 8 p.m. prime time.
Yeah.
So they show this, you know, kind of this footage of a portrait of one of the young 14-year-old girls in her tight spandex just posing there. And I gotta say, worst camel toe I've ever seen.
Oh, right, Chris. Now. Ooh.
I mean, I totally felt like a pedophile. It's like, it's just right there, but it was a car crash. I mean, I shouldn't look, but I just couldn't take my eyes off it. It was the worst thing.
I don't even know what to say.
Yeah, I don't either. That's scary.
Sure, wish we had some audio to play there.
Yeah, me too.
So somebody needs to review it first before it goes to national broadcast. Like, seriously.
And then you the announcer said,
absolutely major camel toe.
Yes, yeah, excellent.
There you go. That's what we're waiting for.
He gave her a 10. The judges gave her a 10. The camel toe judges. She got the first perfect 10 ever.
Do they have camel toe judges?
Yeah.
All right.
Chris, you should call back Sunday night at midnight and have that conversation.
Gotta check that out.
All right. Well, let's keep the theme going and talk to Josh. He's in Glendale Online 4.
Hey, Josh.
Hey, Josh. Sort of calling about the Olympics, right?
He's not at all.
I'm calling about the puppy Olympics.
The what?
The damn puppy game.
You heard him.
Animal Planet.
The puppy Olympics.
Is this like the Super Bowl where they have the puppy bowl as counter-programming?
Yes. It's bullcrap. It's just a bunch of puppies in a made-up little wannabe soccer field, and they're just playing with their stuff.
And what did you think it would be, Josh?
And 35% of it is computer-generated.
They're not even real dogs.
I want to see puppies pole vaulting. I want to see puppies rowing. I want to see puppies swimming.
It's so BS. Okay. And the commentators all into it, they're like, oh, and that puppy almost scored a goal. I was like, no, shut up, Bean. They're puppies.
I didn't have anything to do with it.
Did you yell, shut up, Bean, in your own home?
Reminded me of Bean. It's like something Bean would be involved with.
That's true.
I find myself yelling, shut up, Bean, all the time, too, for random reasons.
I only read a tiny little piece on this story last week, but I did hear that they had dogs representing lots of different countries, like the English Bulldog would be representing Britain, then the French Poodle would be representing France, and the American Boxer. But I didn't even...
If I was to represent Mexico, I was so mad. I'm going to call Animal Planet and...
Did you go to Animal Planet for something specific, or were you just flipping around?
It was 2 in the morning. I was high.
Yeah.
And I was flipping through the channel.
Okay.
And I was sitting there like, no way.
I heard the English bulldog perked up his ears so he could pretend to be a French bulldog.
Oh, that's just stupid. No one would do that. Yeah. That's dumb.
Crazy.
How dare you? Let's talk to Hargo in Hollywood on line 5.
Hargo?
It's like a new TV series coming this fall on NBC.
Hargo in Hollywood. Hey, Hargo in Hollywood.
Hey, what it do, nephew?
What it do?
What it do?
Did you hear about it raining money on the 10 freeway yesterday?
See, this is why I'm glad we do this feature, because I didn't hear about it.
I didn't either.
What happened?
Some guy on a motorcycle lost a bag with several thousand dollars in it. And the bag opened up, and people rushed out and picked it all up.
No traffic problem there.
It was on the 10 East near Alhambra.
And they, the story I read yesterday said that the police recovered $0. Is that accurate?
On Yahoo, it said the police recovered $18.
Well, $18. Okay.
Out of how much? Do you know how much money he dropped?
Like $2,000, I think.
$2,000?
Wow. And a laptop.
Why did he have $2,000 in a bag?
I don't know. He was on a Harley.
Drug deal.
You have $2,000 in your pocket. What are you talking? You have, you're the last
in singles.
Yeah.
Well, you never know when singles might come in happy. You know?
So everyone just stopped on the 10 East and got out of the car and started picking up money?
Picked up money.
How was it not just a giant pileup on the 10 East if that happened?
I don't know. They were just surprised there were no injuries.
Lisa, what do you know about this?
I don't know anything about it.
You're a traffic girl.
How
do you not know about it? It's your milieu.
I don't care.
Not on Sundays.
Oh, that's true.
Exactly.
Bean probably read three articles about it, though.
Prompts. She's too busy wearing the white pants on Sundays to notice the traffic.
Let's close with Tanya in HB because she's besmirching my good name, and I want to make sure there's not a misunderstanding here.
Tanya, good morning.
Good morning. What did you, nephew? What did you, baby?
Boo? Tanya. Tanya.
You sound good.
Take your time, baby.
Yeah.
Hey,
Not so much with the music. Can't hear what she's saying.
Sorry. Yes, sweetheart. What can I do for you?
Yes, Tanya.
I have a bone to pick with you.
Yeah.
I got a bone to pick with you.
Oh, dear God.
I saw Pineapple Express this weekend in Long Beach.
Right.
And it was the funniest movie ever. It was
of course,
hilarious.
Well, why do you have a bone to pick with me? I didn't say it wasn't funny.
Because you don't have a sense of humor. You said you didn't laugh that much. I couldn't stop laughing.
Bean didn't laugh at all, but the thing about...
I couldn't understand what they were laughing about.
The thing about Bean is that he does not enjoy fun.
Right.
He does like funny, but he's not a fan of fun.
It's a bad name.
Yeah.
No. Look, here's what I said, Tanya, for people who aren't listening. I said the audience adored this movie. They went crazy for this movie. They laughed just like you did the entire movie. It wasn't for me. I'm not the target audience of this movie.
I think all Washingtonians seem boring, though. What's up with that?
I'm glad I went. I like Seth Rogen very, very much, and it was fine. But I didn't love it the way most of our audience will love it.
Tanya,
that's all I'm saying.
This is not the first time that Bean has been a little out of step with people who have emotions and a heart.
Well, all I have to say is that my friend and I laughed through the whole thing,
okay,
and
good.
I think we were probably, I don't know, the only two white people in there, but it was fabulous. It was okay. So funny. And we were both completely sober.
Believe me, I'm not trying. I'm not scaring anybody off of this movie. I think you should, if you like K-Rock, you will probably like this movie very, very much, and you should go see it.
Is your friend a girl, Tanya?
Excuse me?
Was your friend a girl that you went to see it with?
No.
No?
No.
Was it a boy, a guy friend?
Yeah.
Afterwards, did you go back to his place?
That's my business, Ralph.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah. I got your Pineapple Express for one of mine.
Thank you for the call, Tanya.
Your Pineapple Express.
We enjoyed talking to you. All right. No one to thank for today's show, but that means no one.
Your Pinochle Express right here.
I finally got to the point where I sound drunk, whether I am or not.
My pants.
And that's not good.
Man pace.
When Kevin hears the Larry King drunk tape, does it give him hope that he has a career in broadcasting to look forward to?
No. No.
Because that's a guy who's kept a job for decades, dude. If they'll hire him, they'll hire you, right?
Yeah, but he's crazy. Tomorrow morning, all new Kevin and Bean Show. Bob Saget in studio talking about the Comedy Central roast of
that
him.
Guy. What would he need him for?
Got a very funny internet roundup tomorrow morning with some great clips on the video. Smallest deal breakers tomorrow.
Oh, good.
Tiniest little things that made you break up with somebody.
Okay.
Let's see here. Phil Fraser is the executive producer of Madden NFL 09, which comes out tonight at midnight.
Nice!
And did you know that trampolines are an Olympic sport? Were you aware of that?
No.
Trampolining.
They got to stop this whole thing every 4 years. It's just stupid.
Go USA trampoliners.
Go tramps.
When's that on, by the way? When are they airing that? Do you know?
I don't have any idea. It's impossible to tell, by the way.
I tried to find Boxing Olympic All Weekend. I couldn't find it
they
anywhere.
Go to 750. 750 to 756.
On my DirecTV?
Yes, on DirecTV, yes, thank you. And there's one channel that's primarily boxing.
Oh, okay.
And another channel is primarily soccer. Another one's primarily basketball, so you can kind of watch those sports. But it's really hard to tell.
Okay. Cat Corbett up next, 40 minutes nonstop K-Rock. MGMT's Kids will be part of that. Also some Nirvana, Offspring, Guns N' Roses, Pepper, Linkin Park, and more. Coming up right after this on the world-famous K-Rock.
I'm lost. What do you mean?